gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. This will be our final live broadcast before we take a couple days off for December. So let's make it a big one. Let's make it a good one. We have a lot of information to go through pertaining to the Jeffrey Epstein file release. The latest tranche was delivered, had Trump's name in it quite a bit. Other people have figured out that the method that they used to redact a lot of these articles is easily undone. Basically, they just overlaid a black box over the text, and you can just copy and paste the text that's underneath the black box. So people are unredacting these documents pretty rapidly, and we'll show you, you know, what's been redacted, and we can speculate why. I imagine this would be a useful thing for AI if, you know, if the government was competent and didn't accidentally release easily unredactable things. I always wonder if AI could go through and see the length of the redaction and judge how many letters there are and what the letters are made out of. I bet you could get pretty sophisticated with that and be able to unredact things through AI. But you don't need to, because the government's just incompetent. You can just copy and paste. Kind of like the Obama birth certificate. Kind of like the video from Jeffrey Epstein's jail cell that had a minute missing. You know, part of me thinks, is the government really this incompetent, or are they kind of doing this on purpose, right? You release the Obama birth certificate with layers still embedded, so you can take it into Photoshop and just see where the real original document was and where the stuff they added on top was. And it's like, there's no way they're this stupid. I mean, everybody, I don't know, if you've ever done graphic design, if you've ever done anything where you finalize, you publish a final media file, this is like basic stuff. When you're, you know, publishing a PDF, you go on Adobe and you click whatever the option is for merge all layers. Obviously, like, so are they that incompetent, or is it on purpose? Are they doing this almost to show their hand a little bit? Because in a way, that's what it feels like. It feels like a prank. It feels like a, I don't know. You know, it's just like something like a bully would do. Like, they know you can't do anything about it, right? And like, the fact is, with the Obama birth certificate, and I believe with the Epstein things, the Epstein files, I mean, it's still up, right? So people realize you could download the file from the official government server that they claimed was the Obama birth certificate. You could take it into Photoshop, separate it, and that was discovered like within a day of them publishing it. It's been 10 years. It's still up there. You can still go download it to this day. So obviously they don't care about that. You know, maybe that would be an admission of guilt, so they don't want to go in and scramble and replace it. So then people go, haha, we got you. But like, no, we got you. No, it's a fake document. Anybody with Photoshop or any other free Photoshop alternative can see that's a fake document. Well, the same thing's happening with these redactions. And some of the redactions really don't make any sense. People have unredacted the stuff, and it's like, why did they redact this at all? So we're going to go through the Epstein files, obviously. I mean, look, just, I mean, the size of this. Our poor printer. All of our Epstein files. And I just have dozens of stories about this with all the information coming out. And we'll get into this, and I'll look at some of this. But really what I want to do is zoom out. Not necessarily dig into the nitty-gritty details of this, because all of it is hard to – it's like, you know, okay, we'll look at a document that is the report from an interview that was carried out with a witness to something somebody else said. So it's like, what is even the evidentiary value of this? We'll get into it. I mean, I'll explain it, but it's like kind of exhausting having to be like, this isn't a confirmed claim. This is a rumor that was spread to this person who claimed it was this, and – It's not as valuable as you might think. What's valuable are the connections. What's valuable is using what we're getting from this file to elucidate the constellation of criminals that run our country. And that's really what the Epstein files are about. More so than the women that were abused. Because I know, like, you know, the Democrats and even Thomas Massie is like, this is about justice for the women. I agree. These women do need justice. It's incumbent on our government to provide it to them. I'm not trying to downplay that. This is about a lot more than abused women. This is about the power structure that rules and is destroying our world. We're going to get into that. And we're not just going to talk about Epstein. We're going to talk about Larry Summers and Larry Ellison and Larry Fink. Why are they all named Larry?
challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product. Cancel any time and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. We're going to talk a lot about Jeffrey Epstein today. We got other stories to get into as well. Crazy stories from across the world. And we may even dip our toes in the drama. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be a break from normal? What if we talked about Candace Owens? We might have to. It's not just Candace Owens. Candace Owens et al. Candace Owens and others. It's a very frustrating thing. It's every Christmas, too. At least the last couple of Christmases. I don't know what it is about Christmas. It makes everybody hate Alex Jones. It's very weird. Last year it was the Elon Musk thing, and the whole time, Alex is trying to keep the ship afloat. Trying to keep moving in the right direction. And the latest one with Candace, I mean, it really is bizarre, like actually suspicious how yesterday, all of the sudden, there were like 15 really big accounts all posting short, out of context, old clips of Alex Jones saying things that aren't even objective or wrong or anything, but clearly trying to frame Alex as a Zionist to discredit him. And I have to say, like, it's really bizarre. I'm like as anti-Zionist as you can get and always have been. And I'll call them out, you know, constantly. But like one of the things you realize when you get in this mix is like, I really think that the anti-Zionists have seen the way the Zionists will lie, they'll manipulate, they'll do all this crazy stuff. And so in a way, they're like, okay, this is war. There are no rules or laws in war. I get to do whatever I want. They lie, so I'm going to lie. And they just lie. And it's crazy how much and how obviously and how blatantly they lie. Like to a really like almost disturbing degree, because not only am I disturbed by their willingness to lie in a flagrant way. I did a Twitter space with this guy, Solomon, who's like, you know, the biggest anti-Zionist whatever on X. And it's just always this BS. I hear Matt Baker calls me and is like, you know, they've been talking trash about you for like 2 hours because they were claiming, again, it's just like so complicated, but like, I am the guy who a month before Charlie Kirk was murdered, broke the news that he was scared of, he was going to be killed by Israel, right? Now, ever since then, I've been open to that possibility. I've also been open to the possibility it was Tyler Robinson or a third party that we aren't even aware of. It's all possible. I've seen no conclusive evidence on one side or the other. That being said, the one thing that has made me kind of back away from the Israel did it concept, mindset, is the fact that they haven't really gotten anything out of this. I mean, they're kind of trying to take over TPUSA, but they kind of were in charge of it already. Like, they didn't need to, I don't know. I think they would have picked like a Palestinian, or they would have picked a Nick Fuentes supporter to blame it on if it was. So it's like ever since the assassination, I haven't seen a lot of evidence that it was like, aha, this is why they did it. This makes sense. what has happened is that the left in this country has seized on the assassination of Charlie Kirk as a shining example of what they want to do. The left has benefited. The left has taken credit for it. The left called for his death. The left was not punished in any meaningful way. And so the left is benefiting from this massively. So then I put out a tweet saying basically that, and I think it may have even been in response to the idea that Tim Pool got shot at or his house got shot up. And I said, this is because, you know, the federal government didn't do anything to punish the left after Charlie Kirk's murder. Because again, it's like, I don't know who killed Charlie Kirk. I am not God. I do not have omniscience. I cannot say one way or the other who really did. I'm suspicious of the official story. I haven't seen any, you know, speculation that's entirely convincing. So, you know, it's kind of up in the air. That being said, there's a perception that is meaningful on the left that they killed Charlie Kirk. To the left, they're walking around going, we killed Charlie Kirk. We got away with it. Who are we going to kill next? So whether or not they did kill Charlie Kirk, that is the belief that is informing their behavior. And it is the belief that will inform their behavior into the future. So it almost has to be treated as if it's true, even if it's not, because they believe it's true. And therefore it's directing their, you see the guy on the left there? You see the guy on the left? Pull up that picture again. Picture of Candace and, Charlie Kirk. I think I spotted something. My eagle eye. You see it right there? That little hat. Oh, and they're reading the Jerusalem Post. Busted. Candace Owens, puppet of the Jews. See that right there? There she is in a picture with a man with a tiny hat. We got her, folks. We got her. So all this is to say, so, you know, I put out a tweet basically going, hey, the left is really making hay with this whole Charlie Kirk assassination. Suleiman, this liar, goes, Harrison's now saying it's the left that killed Charlie Kirk. I guess he got the call. I guess he's not allowed to say it's Israel anymore. And apparently they're talking crap about me for like an hour. Matt Baker calls me and is like, you should probably come in here and defend yourself. It's the biggest space on X right now. So I go in. I only have 10 minutes. And I just go, what? What do you want, Suleiman? Ask me your questions. He asked me. I tell him straight up. Exactly as I just laid it out, right? I hang up within 10 seconds, Suleiman is telling everybody in the space that I just said the exact opposite of what I actually said. It's crazy. Like, that's what I mean. The reason I'm like spending so long telling you this is because you have to understand what it's like to deal with these people. That I can go on a space. I don't even want to do it. I don't even care what these people are saying. But I go on because apparently Matt Baker's in there like defending me for like an hour. Because anybody who actually pays attention to this stuff, anybody who's actually in the mix and has been to InfoWars Studio and has met us, talked to us behind the scenes, interacted with us ever in any meaningful way, everybody tells you we're the real deal. Everybody knows we're the most honest people you can possibly find in media, and that includes the dissident right wing. It's like actually not beneficial for us to be as honest as we are. It'd be a lot easier to play the grifting game. But like literally, I go on this space, they go, do you think... Like, who do you think killed Charlie Kirk? And I go, I don't know. My top suspect is Israel. I think they are probably, you know, if I had to bet, you know, if I had to put money on it, I had to make a choice, I'd put it on Israel. I think it's a pretty good, pretty big bet. But on the other hand, I don't have definitive proof for that. That's based on a lot of speculation on my part and a lot of insinuation or just historical, you know, pattern recognizing. But on the other end, and I think there's a lot of shady stuff about the official story, but they're about to have a trial. We're about to see all the evidence laid out. I'm open to being convinced. I'm willing to accept that that's the case. Yeah, here I posted out. Went on Sheikh Suleiman's space yesterday to address questions about my Charlie Kirk tweet and tried to explain once again why being against a Muslim takeover of the West is not a Zionist position, because that's what he tries to get into. But it was just baffling to me that I spent 10 minutes going, I don't know who killed Charlie Kirk. I suspect it was Israel. But, you know, it could have very well been the left. And regardless of who actually did it, the left believes they did it. So therefore, you know, we have to take that into account when dealing with the left. Okay, thanks for having me on, Suleiman. Click, hang up. And I go back and watch a recording later. 10 seconds after I leave, he's going, so there you heard. Harrison said he thinks the left killed Charlie Kirk. And so other people in space be like, I don't think he said that. And it's like, well, yeah, he did say that, though. But he basically did say that. And then they just go on and talk about it as if that's what I said. And it's just like, and then they're like, oh, but we want to do a debate now. And it's like, no, you're just liars. You people just lie. Stu Peters yesterday did the same thing. Stu Peters, he doesn't tag me. That's a telling thing. Stu Peters tweets out, Harrison Smith told me I was banned from the studio because Alex Jones is controlled by Zionists. So something like that. But he doesn't tag me. He writes my name out, but he doesn't want me to see it, apparently. But somebody sends it to me, so I just respond to him. You're lying. Post the clip. No clip. No clips gets posted because I didn't say that. Because he's lying. So that's the thing. And then they're like, oh, well. And they just do this thing where they lie about you to demonize you, to lower your credibility. They don't actually, you know, confront what you say. They just misrepresent what you say. The one that's going viral right now, it's Alex Jones being like, the Wailing Wall? I'd love to touch the Wailing Wall for its history. I'd love to touch Stonehenge. I'd love to touch the Wailing Wall. These are living reminders of thousands of years of human history. This is amazing stuff. And this gets posted with just like, Alex Jones, Zionist, says he would love to kiss the Wailing Wall. And it's like, because he likes history. Like, what are you talking about? Why? And that, to me, is the most baffling part, is like the headline, the label of the video is just completely at odds with what the video shows. But then people are posting a video going, ha, proof. And it's like, is everybody stupid or are you all lying? I don't know which one it is, but it's got to be one of these. And I know for the Stu Peters and the Solomons out there, they're lying. They're lying. So I don't know what it is about anti-Zionists that think that there's like a clever way to do things. But they lie all the time and in a really blatant and obvious and offensive way to people who they then want to like. Then Stu Peters like, so you want to invite me in studio? And it's like, no. Why would I do that? You said to insult and lie about us. And then it's like, so now you have to invite me on your show or else I'm right. What are you talking about? Yeah, so this video, as well as like three others, all got posted endlessly yesterday. And it's Alex literally, he's just like explaining it. It's not hard to comprehend what he's saying. He's like, I have no loyalty to Israel. I've never been there. I don't give a crap about it. I mean, the absurd thing is, of course, if you actually watch InfoWars or the shows, like the people actually listening to me now are actually the one people in the world that don't need to hear this. You actually know all of this, so I'm sorry for venting to you. But like, it is the most frustrating thing ever. And I gotta say, ever since Owen Schroyer left, I've been nothing but, you know, nothing but offered him goodwill. And he's never, you know, done anything to me. He's never come back at me for any reason. So it's not even about him necessarily. But I did say when he first left InfoWars and Alex was sort of giving him the tanning on air. I was like, well, you know, Owen in his stream where he talked about quitting, he never said he was fired, and he complained sort of about things that he wasn't happy about, but he didn't say it was that he was being censored or anything. And so I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I was like, well, you know, he could have, you know, Owen could have frankly gone the David Knight route and been like, oh, I was fired. I was being silenced. He didn't do that. In all fairness, he didn't do that, but he combined complaints about Alex with his, you know, I'm leaving InfoWars stream. And it clearly, and whether it was deliberate or not, it obviously gave people the impression, people left that stream believing that Owen Schroyer had been fired because he wouldn't say what Alex wanted him to say. And I said at the time, I said, look, Owen, on air, I said, I think you should apologize. I think you should make a video to come out and go, look, I just want to set the record straight. Alex never censored me. I was not fired. On my stream, I vented and I, you know, may have given the wrong impression. I just want to make it perfectly clear. And I said in my stream, I quit. I was not fired. I quit on my own volition because of, you know, issues I had. But Alex Jones never silenced me. He never told me what to say. Because that's the truth. And it actually would have been a nice thing for Owen to do. Not only would it have smoothed things over with him and Alex, it would have actually made him look like a good guy. Because, hey, if that wasn't his intention, if he really, you know, made a stream innocently, you know, saying I quit from InfoWars and it accidentally gave everybody the wrong impression, wouldn't you want to go correct the record? So I do wish Owen the best. I do like him personally. You know, I got nothing against him. That being said, he's playing up this grift to a really annoying degree. Where it's like, so many times a day, I have people being like, you better get out of there while you can, or else, you know, you're going to get the Owen treatment, just like Owen got. And it's like, I have been more anti-Israel for many, many years longer than Owen has been anti-Israel. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? And so what's happened is that Owen is kind of leaning into this. And now, you know, his broadcast is like almost entirely about Zionism. Now, no offense, but that is literally the easiest grift in the entire world. And I get it, right? He's starting out. He wants to, you know, build up his audience. So he's going to say the things that are popular. And I really do think that's what's happening. But it just shows the warped view people get from like liars on Twitter, you know, misapplying things. It's ridiculous. And it's like it. And the thing that is really the most frustrating about it is that it doesn't like there's a couple things. For one, any one of their little minuscule lies takes like 15 minutes to unwind and debunk and explain, you know, why they're wrong. So it's just exhausting to have to do that. Then if you do it, it doesn't matter, right? I go on with Solomon. I spend 10 minutes very clearly explaining my position. I leave. He completely misrepresents my position and continues to talk crap about me. Okay, why would I ever go on again? Like, why would I ever debate you? Why would I ever deal with somebody so dishonest, so ill-natured? Like, it's ridiculous. It's exhausting. It's infuriating. And these people believe him. And at the end of the day, I don't even understand what the argument's about. This is the thing with Candace Owens. All right, maybe I should just move on. I don't know. I could literally spend the entire show rambling about all of this because it's so multifaceted and confusing. I'll just say about Candace Owens, it is such a black hole maelstrom of speculation, her show. It is not valuable. It's not helpful. It's not informative. It's just not. And I've watched a lot of her episodes. I stopped watching them a little while ago because there was never any substance. There was never anything to sink your teeth into. There was a lot of insinuation. There was a lot of gossipy kind of stuff. There was a lot of, oh, I know, but I can't tell you to tune in tomorrow. And it's like, what? Give me something to understand. Give me something to sink my teeth into. What is the claim you're making? And you're just like, there is no claim. There is no claim. There's a million contradictory debunking of claims. I'm not even sure what they're debunking. Like, it's nonsense. I'm sorry. It's complete nonsense. And the problem is that if she does have something real, it's so enveloped in layer upon layer of nonsense that I don't even know what to make of it. So I said something like this on X. I said, you know, I've watched Candace Owens and I've never really, she came out with a text message about 2 months ago that showed Charlie Kirk saying, I have no choice but to leave the Israeli cause. Now, that was sent to her from somebody inside the government because Andrew Kolvit himself, second in command, the guy who took over TPUSA administration after Charlie Kirk, Charlie Kirk's partner, basically, was like, oh, yeah, that was my screenshot. I sent that into the FBI. Meaning to me that Andrew Kolvit suspected Israel may have had something to do with the assassination and was informing the FBI as to that fact. So maybe that would make him a little less suspicious. That never seems to get incorporated into the storyline. Okay. So she came out that text message that it was actually Andrew Kolvit, one of the bad guys who actually came out that text message, but, Candace Owens published it. That was 2 months ago. I haven't seen anything since then at all, basically. What is a single claim that she's made? when somebody on X sends me an episode, it's like, check out this episode. It's bombshell. I watched it for 20 minutes. I had a notepad. I'm going to write down the actual claim she's making. And the actual claim she made in 20 minutes of broadcast about this exact thing. In fact, I don't even remember. What was it? It was that Colvitt lied about the spine stopping the bullet because the surgeon said the bullet fragmented. And it's like, okay, so doesn't that disprove your whole thing about the .30-06 had to go through his body? So you just like casually drop in like, no, the bullet fragmented. That's why it didn't escape. It's like, okay, that's a good excuse. Like, or that's like a good reason as to why that would be the case. Doesn't that disprove all the speculation about the .30-06 that we've been talking about for several weeks? But we're just going to gloss right over that and talk about how this contradicts Andrew Colvitt relating that Charlie Kirk's spine stopped the bullet. I mean, it's just like, okay, what is that claim? That Andrew Colvitt just made that up? He made up that his spine stopped the bullet when in reality there was a better explanation that was more logical and consistent. What would be the motivation of him doing that? Why would he write the thing about the spine if it is A, not true, not told to him by a surgeon, and there's actually a real explanation that the bullet fragmented, shattered, and was made to, as Candace puts it, turn to powder upon impact so it doesn't ricochet, but it ricocheted on his spine? It's like, yes, what are you talking about? Like, this is the thing. It's just low IQ stuff, man. It's just, if you're dumb, I guess this makes sense. If you're dumb, I guess this is a compelling testimony. But like, if you actually think about it, actually parse it through a logical filter, it doesn't mean anything. What she's saying isn't consistent, isn't meaningful. It's not a bombshell. It's literally nothing. Yeah, that was one claim. The next claim was that the feds tried to stop the surgeon from cleaning up Charlie's body. And this is one of those things where it's like, if you're Candace Owens, no matter what happened, you can make it look bad. Okay? So apparently the story is that the surgeon fails to save Charlie. Charlie dies. He's dead. The feds come in and basically say, if there's nothing more we can do for Charlie, if he's gone and that's it, then we need everybody to leave the body alone. Don't touch it. Don't move it. Don't do anything with it. Is that a suspicious way to act? Maybe. So anyway, then the surgeon is like, but I want to make him look nice for when his wife gets here. And the FBI guys are like, sorry, our orders are to protect the body. You know, it would be nice to have it freshened up for the wife, but like, we're trying to preserve evidence here. And then the surgeon calls somebody in politics who then calls the FBI and gets the guys to stand down so the surgeon can go in and freshen up Charlie. And she presents this as if this is like, why was the FBI trying to stop the surgeon from freshening up the body? And it's like, well, why was the surgeon trying to freshen up the body? What? Who is the surgeon calling in D.C. that has the power to override the FBI? That's a lot more suspicious. So it's like, what are you even presenting? And couldn't you present the opposite? Couldn't you, if you were suspicious of the surgeon guy, couldn't you go, why did he want to clean up Charlie's body? Who did he call? Who was pulling the strings to get the FBI agents to abandon the evidence so it could be manipulated? It could go both ways. But when she presents it, it's like, wow, crazy. That surgeon clearly was in on it, or the FBI was in on it. I don't even know what the claim is. It is so low IQ, I can't even debunk it because it's not a claim. It doesn't mean anything. But then finally she says, well, you know, the police looked over the area where the rifle was found, didn't find a rifle. Then the FBI showed up and then they found the rifle. Okay, that's suspicious. Can we get some detail on that? Any detail? Any amount of detail?
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at theolivesshow.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking Methylene Blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of Ultramethylene Blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalist. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the bovine colostrum, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operations a true thorn on the side of the globalists on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com, nitric boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that Methylene Blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Thinking about coming back in and just being completely on the opposite side. So I was reading comments during, and again, I don't know what world you people live in. Honestly, it's very frustrating. But the thing is, it's like I was thinking, I was like, okay, because you know, it's always the, you know, the funny way to do things is, you know, I could pretend to be anti-Israel, I could pretend to be pro-Israel, and just be like, the babies deserved it. Duh. Yeah, we're going to bomb Iran with a nuke if you don't help us. You have to help us. We're chosen. Like, you know, you just sort of take their position and, you know, expand it to the maximal degree in order to mock or parody it. And I was thinking about doing that with Candace, but like the thing is, the point I was making is that like Candace doesn't, there's nothing to come out and be like, she's right. This and this and that. There's no claims. And the reason why it's so like confusing and weird to me is because it's like if you don't watch her every day and like keep, I guess, notes or something, or like keep in your head who she's talking about or what she's referencing, you can't just like drop in. like, the way this should work is there should be a claim, the evidence of that claim, and then, you know, how that claim fits into the wider pattern going on. That would be easy to understand. But it's like the first you hear about it is like Candace being like, we have proof that Mitch was at the base. And you're like, who? What? And you got to like backtrack and you got to be like, wait, they're trying to prove this guy was on a base. So I guess this guy said he saw people, but he said he saw different people. And he was using a different name, but now he has a new name. And he saw these people, and now there's evidence. So it's like, but what is the claim? What are we talking about here? So as far as I can understand it, some guy got in contact with Candace Owens. Apparently, again, it's just like, if I was an intel agency, boy, would I be making use of this. Well, the most popular podcaster in the world takes unsolicited anonymous emails and runs with it. If you can fabricate a couple of pieces of evidence, okay, let's do that. Like, I would absolutely be doing that if I was an intelligence agency. Because, I mean, I don't doubt that Candace Owens is practiced in, like, fact-checking, running down people's backgrounds. But especially with AI and the possibilities they have now, I mean, they can create entire networks of people that don't exist. Tall, you know, guarantee. The man identified only as Mitch said he saw Erica Kirk and Charlie Kirk's head of security at a military base in Arizona. Owens made it clear it was an eyewitness account shared on her show, not an official finding. And so then the whole thing devolves into arguments about whether this guy was there and whether the people that he said were there were able to be there at the right time. And the whole time everybody's debating about it, and there's videos for the guys in Congress when they say that he's in this meeting and but he could have gotten from Dallas to wherever. And it's like the whole time I'm going, what is the claim? Okay, let's say they have absolute bombshell dead to rights proof of exactly what this guy said, this Mitch guy, whoever Mitch is, who was called Michael in the police reports and who had a different name when he first contacted Candace. Let's say everything he said is true. Well, what does it mean? What have you proven? What would it mean that Erica Kirk and TPUSA's head of security was at a meeting? What is the claim? That was a planning meeting? Was the assassin there? How's this relate to the Egyptian plane? Like, what is the claim here? The claim, as far as I can understand it, is that there was a meeting with Erica Kirk and Cabot Phillips and the head of TPUSA security and a bunch of generals in a military base. Okay. What does that prove? What does that mean? This is what I mean. It's like people will argue endlessly, threads of 1,000 replies about whether the dates on the ticket were the right time zone and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, what is all of this arguing about when I don't even understand what the claim itself is. Did he hear the meeting? Did he witness them planning the shooting in the meeting? Is there no other reason? Is there an innocent reason why these people might be in a meeting? Do we have any proof that there was a meeting at all? Like, what are we talking about here? What is this? What is it? I honestly, like, what is the claim that's being made? What is the claim? I had the same thing with my co-host, John, Lebanon John from Moonbase Live. He was talking about Erica Kirk. And I just kept saying, what is the claim you're making, dude? And he's like, well, she has this like Romanian charity where they got busted for human sex trafficking. It's like, and so therefore she killed Charlie Kirk. What is the claim? What is the claim? And it's like, well, don't you know that Israel assassinates people? It's like, yes, obviously. What are we talking about? Candace Owens reveals eyewitnesses claims Charlie's widow met with his security night before husband's murder. How is that a bombshell? What does that mean? Why would Charlie Kirk's wife meeting with his head of security be suspicious? What are we talking about? This is what I mean. And you know, you sit there and you think, okay, you know, clearly I just need to watch the episode you know, it'd be nice if somebody would write an article. It'd be nice if there was something to point to, some sort of infographic that could explain what the hell is going on. But I guess we'll sit through and we'll just audibly take in what Candace Owens says. And you watch the whole episode and you're like, it was less clear now than it was at the beginning of the episode. Like, I got even less information. I know less about their claims. I thought her claim was that the lie about the spine was to cover up that they had the wrong caliber, but then she makes the claim that the surgeon said that the bullet was supposed to fracture and fragment when it hit something. So isn't that contradictory to her other claims before? Like, this is what I don't get. You go to watch an episode and you end up more confused at the end of it because there's no tangible, verifiable claims ever anywhere. And then when they do clarify the claims, it's like, what is this even supposed to mean? What am I missing? I'm genuinely curious. What am I missing? What do people think that I'm covering up? Like, that maybe is the most bizarre part, is they're like, the gaslighting's not working. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be gaslighting you about. I don't even know what the claims are. How can I be gaslighting you when I don't even know what you believe or care what you believe? Like, what are you talking about? What is the claim? The claim is the FBI is suspicious? Wow. Thanks. Like, we didn't break the story about Cash Patel shutting down Tulsi Gabbard's investigation of foreign actors in this assassination. So what is the claim? TVOSA is controlled by Israel? Yes, we know. It always was. What is the claim? Erica Kirk. Like, I don't even get it. Like, again, with John on Moonbase Live, it was like, he's talking about like how the pictures of of Charlie's kids don't look real, or how it's suspicious that there are no pictures of their kids' faces on the internet. And I'm like, so do you think the kids didn't exist? And he's like, no. I'm like, then what is the claim? What are we talking about? What is this? Well, the kids' pictures, it doesn't look like a real kid. It's like, so you think the kids don't exist? No, the kids exist. Okay. So what are we doing? Well, I just think that, you know, Erica wasn't really sad when Charlie died. Okay, so you think she spent 9 years of her life in an intimate relationship with a man, had two kids with him, and the whole time it's just straight up the Truman Show. It's just the Truman Show with his wife who secretly hates him and is just playing the part. I don't buy it. I'm sorry. I haven't seen evidence for it. And her having pyrotechnics at the memorial is not the bombshell thing I think other people are treating it as. So again, this is just the weird part. It's like, wow, you're going scorched earth on Candace. Am I? I don't know. It's not how it feels. I just think it's like she says things that are compelling to dumb people but don't actually mean anything or have any substance. Okay, so she posts this. Find your favorite podcaster, join the psychological operation to convince you Mitch was lying about having been at Fort Huacocua on 9/10. And it's like, now there's a psychological operation to convince you some dude named Mitch wasn't really at a fort, but now this police report confirms he was at the report, even though the name says Michael, not Mitch, and that proves us wrong. Who is trying to prove? What are you talking about? Genuinely, what? So pull that up again. So, okay, this is the bombshell proof. Two red siren alarms, right? Confirmed. It's been confirmed now. Whatever we're talking, whatever the claim is that we can't actually establish, it's been confirmed now. I mean, not really, because the claim is that Erica Kirk was there with Cabot Phillips and the head of TPUSA security. So that's the claim. That has not been confirmed by this at all, even slightly. So let's continue. Mitch said he was first taken outside by Captain Neff and questioned for a long time. After a long while, they made a decision to call the military police and report him as a possible bomb threat. As Mitch maintained, at that stage, there is, of course, a paper trail, and here we have it. Bomb dogs were called at 11:17 a.m. Well, bombshell. You know, bomb dogs were called. I guess that proves Candace Owens Wright and Erica Kirk killed her husband. What are we talking about? What does this have to do with anything? We cannot confirm as of yet. It is his memory of who he is convinced he saw coming out of that early morning meeting. We continue to focus our investigation on these points and remain open to the possibility that the people he believed he saw may have been misidentified. Okay. So there's a crazy man who had the police called on him because they thought he was going to bomb a military base. But he believes he recognized people he didn't even know who they were until, I guess, 3 months after he saw them. Then he was shown a picture of them and said, yes, definitely, that's who I saw. And all we have to go on is his word, even though he himself is not actually convinced of it. He's like, pretty sure. And he's like, well, the woman had a ponytail, so that was Erica Kirk. And so the police report she actually shows, I guess, proves that Mitch/Michael was on this base on the day that he said he was, and he was wandering around telling people that he was in the military in the 80s and that the cartel was after him, and he was acting so erratically, the authorities on the base were convinced he was a threat, detained him, and brought bomb-sniffing dogs to make sure he wasn't about to blow them up. So what is that proof of? That's proof he was at the base? Okay. Is it proof the meeting happened? No. If you did prove the meeting happened, would that prove anything? No. So what are we doing here? Am I the crazy one? Like, what are we doing here? I'll open up the phone lines for your calls in the last hour. Because obviously people want to talk about this. I'm getting all sorts of stuff on X. Apparently I'm gaslighting people. Apparently I'm going scorched earth on Candace. Candace has not presented anything. I'm sorry. I know you can watch her videos and think that she's saying things, but try to write down the claims she makes. Try to make sense of them. They don't make sense. And then you go, well, does she know she doesn't make sense? And she's just grifting? Or is all of this making sense in her head? Maybe. I don't know, man. But then, you know, you get people going, Candace, this is not helpful. It's not beneficial to anybody. You're really kind of putting a lot of people that don't deserve it in the crosshairs of a bunch of your followers. And like, and this just seems crazy. This just seems crazy. And it becomes, oh, here we see it. Here we see. You call somebody crazy because this is a classic trick of psychiatry. This is very dangerous. He's now threatening Candace Owens. He's threatening Candace Owens to say that she needs to be put in a straitjacket. And it's like, how would you like us to respond? How would you like us to respond? Candace Owens isn't making any claims that are worth anything. She's not providing evidence of any of the claims she's making. But we should thank her and celebrate her for that. I mean, what should we do? Because if we say what she is saying is not true, we're Israel controlled. And it's like, but what she's saying is not true. So how is that helpful? How is it helpful if you're trying to get to the truth to have a bunch of nonsense about Brigitte Macron's penis thrown in the mix? Like, what are we talking about here? And it's especially crazy because it seems like every 3 days there's something new. And it's funny because I don't actually, like, I just see all this stuff going on in the background. I never talk about it on the show. I don't really interact with it online. But now that I'm talking about it, it's like, I don't see the value of any of this. Wasn't Candace Owens being hunted by some sort of professional assassin that had just moved in and got a job at a warehouse? What happened to that? Weren't we talking about that? Where did that go? What are we doing here? It's like every week there's some new bombshell thing that, again, it's like, what is the claim that we're making? There's not one? Okay, great. Keep it up, I guess. Great. No, definitely not wasting your energy. Definitely not spinning your wheels, endlessly speculating on stuff that doesn't even matter, even if it's accurate. Great. Great. By the way, just since while I'm at it, as far as I understand, Kenneth Owens like really hated Charlie Kirk for the last like year of his life. And they have recordings of her. Anyway, I'll leave it there. But like, that to me was like learning that, and I learned it. I learned it from evidence of it. That was kind of the thing, because I was like, you know, as much as Candace Owens, like, whatever, I didn't really care for a while. I mean, I still don't really care that much, except that it's making everybody else think that InfoWars has something to do with, I don't know, whatever. So I guess I have to talk about it. But like, at least through all of it, it was like, hey, it's her friend, right? She's motivated by this like righteous indignation, seeing, you know, the way this is being handled. So it's kind of like, it doesn't even matter really if she gets things wrong. Her motivation is good. What's compelling her is, you know, love at the end of the day. But then it's like, no, actually they weren't friends, and all the text messages she reveals from Charlie are from 2018 for a reason. And she was like talking about tearing down TPUSA before he got assassinated. These are things that I've heard. These are allegations or speculations or rumors, I guess. But that to me was like, put a whole different perspective on it. Because again, even if she gets things wrong, even if she's a little bit too, whatever, overreaching or whatever, it's like, well, if she's compelled by this like true, sincere love of Charlie and their friendship, let her cook. And it's like, what if it's not motivated by that? Doesn't that put a whole different spin on the whole thing? I mean, what if they weren't close at the end of his life? What if people TPUSA are telling the truth? Harrison, you don't have to shut down every bombshell. Don't want the goys to get wise. Yes, sir, Commander. You got it. I'll just gaslight Candace Owens' audience. Even though she's been doing this for 3 months and we've basically been supportive of her, but like, she's saying things that aren't true. So then we're like, well, that's not true. And then they're like, you're controlled. And then we're like, no, we're not. And they're like, why are you trying to burn down Candace? We're like, well, she's just wrong about this. They're like, you're controlled by Jews. And we're like, but we're not, though. So it's extremely frustrating. And again, the reason it's so one of the main reasons so frustrating is because it genuinely doesn't matter if you can present them truth. It doesn't matter. So feels a bit like just waging an impossible war. I mean, I don't know. It's just like, for the last 3 years at this point, InfoWars has been dragged through the courts. Now, you might not know this about American courts, but they're public places, and our whole law and order system depends on the public appearance, the public display of evidence. And if you want to know about the InfoWars, you know, operation, you can see it in minute detail. It's all public. It's all been published. They took a fine-tooth comb through everything we've ever done. Do you think if there was a single dollar we'd received from a foreign entity, they would have let us get away with that? And do you ever stop to think about the fact that Alex Jones received all of the oppression, all of the lawsuits, I mean, just life destroyed, just brutalized. We've been brutalized by the biggest Jewish law firms in D.C., the very ones who are at this moment and for the entirety of Trump's second administration been writing the anti-Semitism laws. Those are the very people that came after us despite the fact that Alex has never been anti-Semitic. Alex has never, you know, gone down that road or entertained those concepts. Not because he's not allowed to, he's not controlled to, because the same reason that you can't say Alex Jones is a racist. He doesn't entertain those ideas. It's actually a consistent moral way to conduct yourself and see the world. Does that ever enter into the calculus of these people who say Alex Jones is controlled by the Jews, or who say the Jews control everything and therefore Alex Jones is part of everything, so therefore he must control? Did you ever stop to wonder why they hate Alex Jones so much? Why they are so desperate to tear him down? Why they're so desperate to bend the laws and break rules and kick him off every social media platform all in the same day and hold Senate hearings where they're condemning him? And I mean, but he never talks about Jesus. I'm not saying he never does, but that's not his thing, right? So maybe there's a different sort of calculus going on here. Maybe there's a different axis that these people are judging things on. Maybe they're going after the effective people, the people who have had success, the people who have actually changed the paradigm of the American political world and flipped it on its head. Yeah, maybe we have the track record, we have the evidence, we have the enemies to prove that we're the real deal. And anybody that wanted to verify that has more than enough evidence to come to a conclusion. And there's a distinct paucity of evidence, a complete absence of any tangible evidence whatsoever that Alex Jones is controlled by anybody. You can see all of our bank records. You can see all of everything. What do you see? You see people going to InfoWarsStore.com and purchasing products. You see that money being poured back into the operation. And so it goes on. That's it. That's the operation. That's how it works. It's very simple and easily provable. Disprove me. You think I'm lying, if you think I'm gaslighting, if you think I'm saying something wrong, go find me a scintilla of evidence of any claim about Alex Jones or InfoWars or any of us being controlled in any way. You'd think you'd be able to find something, right? It's like Alex Jones, legally beaten, left bankrupt, his kids' inheritance stolen from them, his parents' savings drained, leaving it all on the battlefield, only to have a bunch of scumbags claim, actually, you're in on it. Actually, you've been paid off. Like, wouldn't he be allowed to own a home? Wouldn't he go on vacation if that was the type of thing he did? Got paid off, got sold off. Can we just think about this stuff for a second before we make these claims?
Remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported, love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets it in 2 days. The rest three, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like four. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off on the Ultramethylene Blue, on the Shilajit, on the Irish Sea Moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong. You know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you who have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Make the decision now. Get our Ultramethylene Blue. Get our Shilajit. Get our bovine colostrum. It's amazing. Experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship. But I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful beacon of truth on the air, a 360 total win-win at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at InfoWarsStore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key, you're everything.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the Sea Moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is The War Room. We're moving on now. We're moving on. I'm changing topics. I've decided to believe that the people talking crap about us are just trolling us. They're just trying to get my goat. I'm going to preserve my own sanity by convincing myself to believe that these people aren't serious, because I can't go on if these people really believe what they say. So we're moving on now. We're moving on. Of course, Christmas is coming up in 2 days, and today is the last day to take advantage of the final days of 60% off mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today. Be entered to win a Ford Raptor plus $10,000 in cash. And as I explained in the last segment, this is how you support us. This is how anybody, this is our support. When you go to thealexjonesstore.com and support us, we stay on the air. We continue to actually try to honestly investigate what's going on in the world without any interference, without any persuasion other than America itself. I went on American Journal this morning to destroy Kwanzaa. Here's how it went.
They have this idea that it's like a religious thing, that it's like some deeply held spiritual practice. It's not. It was literally invented in the 1960s by a radical communist black separatist because he wanted to destroy black people's love of Christianity because he saw it as an outgrowth of capitalism in America, and he hated both of those things. So it's not spiritual. It's not valid in any way. He just took a bunch of Swahili names, Swahili words, and made up things and then put it to a mockery of Hanukkah and called it a religion. Now, there's a classic article from this that people repost just about every year from Ann Coulter called Kwanzaa is a Holiday Made Up by the FBI. And she basically runs that this guy, Ron Karenga, who's the guy who invented Kwanzaa, a.k.a. Dr. Maulana Karenga, founder of the United Slaves, which was a violent nationalist rival to the Black Panthers, invented this in the 1960s basically at the behest of the FBI or under the, you know, purview of the FBI. But yeah, it's all literally just a radical communist anti-American practice that was supposed to, you know, play into this idea that like, oh, you're reclaiming your heritage, you're reclaiming your history, you know, Africa, the homeland, the motherland, and you know, you want to reconnect with your spiritual past. So it's playing on something that's like really deeply human and emotional, like you want to be connected to your past, but it's all just bullcrap. It's just a lie. It's just nonsense, and it's anti-Christian, which I think is particularly ridiculous. And you can read the guy's writings. I mean, he actually hated Christianity. He wanted to destroy Christianity. He wanted to, you know, create something for black people in America to break away from Christianity because he saw it as like the, you know, European oppressor religion, which it's all just communist hogwash anyway. Mm-hmm. But also, then you go and you've got articles like this. African Christianity thrived long before white men arrived. So Africa was Christian long before Europe was. Ethiopia had some of the earliest Christian communities. Many of the earliest saints are Christian. Some of my favorite, King Caleb is one of the coolest saints of all time. And we don't have to get into that right now. But the point is that, like, it's ridiculous to claim that Christianity was somehow foisted on these, you know, the poor slaves, and it was used to keep them enslaved. I mean, that's the idea that's being perpetuated by the people who created Kwanzaa, when the reality is that, you know, Christianity was, you know, one of the greatest things that ever happened to the African-American community, and the African-American community is much more strongly Christian than other, you know, racial communities in this country. And Kwanzaa is a deliberate attempt to weaken that connection by claiming that Christianity is somehow European and white and therefore racist and capitalist and bad and has to be overthrown, when the reality is Christianity has a longer history in Africa than it does in America. And if black people want to connect to their history, that would be a great place to start.
There you go. Learn the communist origins of the fake holiday, otherwise known as Kwanzaa. Do you know they added the second A in Kwanzaa for no reason? It's one thing I learned in researching Kwanzaa. Is they're like, well, it's a Swahili word, but then they added the A to make it look different. So everything about it's fake. The word is fake. The ideas are fake. The celebration is fake. The intentions are fake. and it's a fake holiday. And I'm glad we don't actually celebrate it anymore. Have you seen any Kwanzaa celebrations in your neighborhood? Maybe I'll take your calls on that, too. Stay with us. We're on the other side.
Whoa, dude! Is that Methylene Blue? This house really knows me!
Oh, wow! Shilajit gummies! I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too! You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the Sea Moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
I think I got it mostly out of my system. I'll take your calls in the third hour. We can get back into it. But we're going to move on now. We got a lot of stories to cover, a lot of people to discuss. So we're going to move on now. We're going to talk about what's happening with Jeffrey Epstein and the documents they failed to redact effectively, but also all of the scams and schemes and lies that are contained in this as well. We'll continue today as we normally start our day with your daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Tuesday, the 23rd of December, 2025. New batch of Epstein files include many references to Trump. 3 days after releasing a large tranche of Jeffrey Epstein documents that contained a few mentions of President Donald Trump, the Justice Department disclosed thousands more files that included wide-ranging references to the president. The documents show that a subpoena was sent to Mar-a-Lago in 2021 for records that pertain to the government's case against Ghislaine Maxwell, Epstein's accomplice in sex trafficking. These includes notes from an assistant U.S. attorney in New York about the number of times Trump flew on Epstein's plane, including one flight that included just Trump, Epstein, and a 20-year-old woman, according to the notes. So one thing that I'm confused by is why there are so many documents from after Epstein's death. I mean, it seems to me like the things I'm interested in are Epstein while he was alive and what he was up to, who he was involved with, what the conspiracy was. Most of the stuff that includes Trump is all from like 2020 or later. So in my opinion, I mean, he died in 2019. Why would anything that comes after that be included in his files unless they were placed there to try to screw Trump over? I mean, that really is what it seems like. And I'm sort of torn because it, you know, there's more evidence that Trump was maybe more involved than otherwise. There's a Trump rape claim. I mean, these claims have actually been debunked in some cases, like thoroughly, fully, completely debunked. As the skiff on X notes, you know, somebody was saying, oh, they, you know, accidentally, you know, didn't redact this thing that said Trump's name. Skiff replies, nothing was mistakenly not redacted because these documents have been publicly available since 2020. And this case has nothing to do with Donald Trump. The whole case, if you read the whole document, was about Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. They just chose to show you one section to give you the impression it was about Donald Trump. Learn the slander tactics and verify everything. This is exactly why you've lost all credibility. The Democratic approval rating is 18%. Follow people who give you the truth no matter what. Here are the first four pages with link to the rest. The part about Trump was from page 4, paragraph 17. And basically, you know, one of the women that's, you know, brings up Trump or is claimed to have been raped by Trump or whatever the claim is a woman who, you know, this story actually came out in 2016. Troubled woman with history of drug abuse who claimed that she was assaulted by Donald Trump at a Jeffrey Epstein sex party at age 13, made it all up. That was the story in 2016. The real reason she dropped the suit is because the claims were not true. The court papers offered no corroborative evidence that her claim was true. And this is just one of the many claims in the Epstein files that are documented as if they're true, but are in fact utterly baseless claims, some of which have already been adjudicated and proven to be completely baseless. So you should be aware of that. That being said, I'll show you what is said and I'll show you what the suspicious things are. But the way this is being portrayed is obviously not accurate. Meanwhile, exclusive, ICE rounds up over 1,000 illegal immigrants during a two-week operation to honor Lake and Riley. ICE officials apprehended 1,030 illegal aliens using its authority under the Lake and Riley Act during its two-week operation Angel's Honor, the Post has learned. The sweeping operation, which wrapped up Monday, was conducted in memory of Lake and Riley, a nursing student who was brutally bludgeoned to death last year by an illegal alien while out on a jog. And so that's very good to see. You know, CBS apparently canceled airing of a segment about the treatment of illegal immigrants being deported to CICAT in El Salvador. And they actually, you know, they decided to not air this piece. And then I guess it's been leaked now. So we have the video. And the whole thing is just sort of crying crocodile tears about the treatment that illegal aliens receive. And it's funny because it's like, you know, they're claiming, they're like, oh, Barry Weiss didn't want to air this because it made Trump look bad. It's like, I actually would like it to air. I think it's actually important that illegal immigrants know, like, you need to get out of this country. I actually think that's important to go, hey, you want to see what it's like when you get caught by Border Patrol? Especially if you're in a Venezuelan gang like Trinidad Aragua. Let's show you. Yeah, 24 hours, light never turns off, freezing cold, super violent, super brutal, super dehumanizing. It's bad. It's really bad. So you should leave. So I don't even get the, you know, they're like, oh, we can't show this. It you know, sympathizes the illegal aliens. But, like, I'm not empathizing with these people. I'm glad they were subjected to uncomfortable conditions. They shouldn't have come to America. They chose to, you know, come here and then stay here and try to get away with it. Like, you made this choice. You made this choice, scumbag. Where it annoys me is that you'll never ever in your life see the same type of story being told for people that are genuinely political prisoners. You know, maybe we should go to this video. But, you know, they're interviewing one of the detainees. And he's describing his treatment. And they go out of their way to make it sound as bad as possible, even when it's not really that. Didn't seem that bad, honestly. But they're just, you know, oh, the light never turns off and what that does to somebody. And lying on these concrete beds. And this is just horrible. Meanwhile, you know, January Sixers were like blinded because they're beaten by guards. We're all African migrants and we're told the J6ers are KKK member white supremacists. So the prison guards would beat the crap out of them and then put them in solitary confinement for 6 months on end. I don't know. Why are we not seeing interviews about that? Why are we not seeing long, you know, hour long CBS highly produced productions explaining in excruciating detail, doing everything they can to maximize the emotional impact of the torture that January 6ers were put through? So I sort of understand why they would want to take that video down, because obviously the entire intent of it was to try to humanize and provide sympathy for the, you know, actual violent criminal illegal alien terrorists that are in this country. Something they would never ever, they would never tell that story for people that actually don't deserve the treatment that they're getting. People that actually were tortured, even though they were innocent, by the American government in America. Never get that story, but we will get a sob story about the poor, well, I was about to say innocent, but he's not actually innocent. The poor, guilty illegal alien who had to, you know, endure being sent home. We're so sorry. Yeah. Meanwhile, John Brennan's lawyers confirm he's a target of a Florida grand jury probe and they ask the judge to intervene. In a letter to Chief Federal Judge in Miami, it's an extraordinary interjection by Brennan's defense team and likely signals his lawyers fear an indictment is imminent. Former CIA Director John Brennan's lawyers have taken the extraordinary step of confirming that their client is in fact a target of a criminal grand jury investigation in Florida and are asking the chief federal judge in Miami to stop the proceedings on the grounds that the Justice Department is, quote, judge shopping. So very good to see. We want to see John Brennan behind bars as quick as possible, please. We know all the laws he broke. He's a traitor to this country and every day he is walking around free. is another day of the justice system is yet to be fixed. Of course, we covered this yesterday. At the end of the show, U.S. to build Trump-class warships for Golden Fleet. President Trump has, in his second term, obsessed over sea power, long a sign of the country's strength. Here he again inserts himself. He complained about the rusty appearances of ships. He kickstarted a shipbuilding office with a promise to make the vessels very fast, very soon. He's massed destroyers and Marines in the Caribbean, and he's ordered a blockade of Venezuela as he beefs with the country leader, Nicolas Maduro. Yeah, I think the biggest failure in this is for the Trump administration to make the case for why we're going after Maduro. Like, it's honestly weird and sad that you have articles like this, and it kind of makes sense. He's ordered a blockade of Venezuela as he beefs with the country's leader, Nicolas Maduro. I mean, looking from the outside, yeah, maybe that is why. I don't know. We don't really have anything tangible about the drug trade. Kind of not really. Well, it's about the election, but that's not the official story. And kind of about helping Israel, but we don't really say that too loud. And it's like, we need a real reason. We need an actual propaganda effort if you want us to get into this war, Trump. Right now, you got people writing articles going, yeah, he's going to war with Venezuela because he is beefing with Maduro. It's like, well, maybe so. Maybe that is the case, because I got no other better reason for that. Which I guess makes us more like Imperial Rome than ever before. Finally, activist Judge Boasberg orders Trump administration to allow deported Venezuelans from El Salvador to return to the U.S. Why is this man able to intervene at every possible time to stop Trump from doing absolutely anything? Why is this creepy Lord Voldemort-looking weirdo, who's nobody has ever voted for, get to dictate American policy on every front, from immigration to deportations to, you know, dispensing, sending out the military to help ICE? Judge Boasberg reigns supreme for some unspoken reason. Maybe it's a secret. Maybe we're just not allowed to know why he's in charge. But it ain't because he's got the support of the people, because we don't live in a democracy or a republic for that matter. We live in a dictatorship of weirdos. And that's what we're learning with the Jeffrey Epstein announcement. That might actually be the ultimate takeaway. We live in a dictatorship of the weirdest, most degenerate, freakish people the world has ever seen. The headlines, of course, as we knew they would be, Donald Trump named a new release of Jeffrey Epstein files. Jeffrey Epstein's brother, Mark Epstein, told the FBI in 2023 that Epstein was murdered in his jail cell because he was about to, quote, name names. Mark Epstein, 71, who has long believed that his brother was killed, also alleged in the tip that President Donald Trump authorized the late sex trafficker's murder. The FBI document is part of a batch of thousands of files that were released by the Department of Justice early Tuesday morning. Trump has repeatedly denied any involvement in Epstein's crimes. The Department of Justice released a statement Tuesday saying a number of the documents pertaining to the president were untrue and sensationalist claims that were made against Trump before the 2020 election, although Mark Epstein's claim was filed in 2023. This is the weird part. Why are there claims from 2023 in the Epstein files? Epstein died in 2019. I guess because this is Mark Epstein saying things that he thinks his brother was killed by Trump. But the thing is, do we really think Jeffrey Epstein was about to blow the lid? Really think he was about to become a conscientious objector, a whistleblower? Do you think that? Do you think that's what was about to happen? Seems to me a lot more likely that Jeffrey Epstein thought, oh, I can destroy Trump and I can work with the people who hate Trump. Maybe they can give me some leeway. Maybe they can get me out of here if I offer to serve them up Trump on a platter. Maybe Trump did kill him. I mean, hell, it happened under Trump's administration. Of course, Bill Barr was the AG at the time. He would have had oversight over the imprisonment of Jeffrey Epstein. He would have had to be the one to stop the investigation into his death. And of course, Bill Barr's father hired Epstein for one of his first jobs at a girls' school. because he was recruiting people to be agents for intelligence agencies while there. And I want you to just take all this in, sort of understand, you know, what it is that we're actually dealing with here. A lot of people have a lot of different views of this. Some people are like, oh, this is, you know, Trump's a pedophile and he's protecting his pedophile buddies, or, you know, oh, this is an Israel infiltration thing and they're covering it up because Israel's blackmailing them. Other people think it's a hoax, Democrat hoax. I mean, there's lots of different views. The reality is that there is a supranational global cabal that has been operating for nearly 100 years at this point that uses a variety of money laundering, blackmail, drug trafficking, human trafficking, all sorts of nefarious operations to fund other nefarious operations to overthrow countries and, in a simple term, be the shadow power of the world. And we know who these people are, more or less. We more or less know their intentions. And we can actually see the outcome of the policies they decide. And we can see the ways in which they are still to this day being shoehorned in to the most important positions in the entire world, specifically because they're a part of this cabal. Some main players in this cabal would be people like Larry Summers. Larry Summers has just been revealed through some of the Epstein documents, actually was named as the executor of Jeffrey Epstein's estate after his death. I mean, all of the money that Jeffrey Epstein was given by the likes of Les Wexner, the billions of dollars that he was provided in order to have a starting fund, a nest egg, in order to build his reputation as a financier, in order to insinuate himself in with scientists and technologists in order to co-opt, blackmail, or manipulate them, is now going to go back into the coffers of Larry Summers, because that's what this operation is. You can almost think of it like a corporation with Jeffrey Epstein as one of the many brands under this umbrella. You've got the Unilever Corporation. Underneath that, you might have Dove, and you might have Irish Spring, and, you know, all these different soaps and, you know, products, but they're all under the same umbrella. And so if the, you know, if Irish Spring goes bankrupt or has to shut down for some reason, well, then all of their assets and all of their resources can be, once again, absorbed into the wider corporate structure. So that's what's happening here. So you've got Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, the guy who helped destroy Glass-Steagall and helped lay the groundwork for the market crash in 2008, that his buddy Larry Fink at BlackRock helped to determine where all of the, you know, bailout money went, and got to basically rearrange and completely redesign the economic system without any input from anybody except for he and his buddies. Larry Summers, who, again, head of Harvard for a while, still at Harvard, also got appointed to the board of OpenAI, the most prominent and most successful AI company that runs ChatGPT. That happened after the drama around the board. But lo and behold, what a coincidence. Larry Summers happened to be the one appointed there. Larry Ellison, of course, can be seen in emails corresponding with Jeffrey Epstein and Ehud Barak, former prime minister of Israel, as they talk about who, what politicians will be useful to them and will serve their interests, including arranging a meeting between Marco Rubio and Tony Blair, since they can both be trusted to serve the interests of this corporation, of this incorporated, non-incorporated cabal. The mega group would be one way of phrasing it. So even in just these four or five people, you have a very tight network who are collaborating, corresponding, arranging meetings, dictating policy. Jeffrey Epstein himself had his fingers in so many pies, like crazy. He's selling weapons from Israel. He's like just meddling in their elections. He's like selling universities to Russians. Like, so what does this mean? Like, who is this guy? How does he have the ability to do this? Like, how do you go to, do you go to school for this? He didn't even go to school for, you know, trading. It's all fabricated. He is a spy master. He is a kingpin in a mafia. That's all this is. And this group that I'm describing, that includes Les Wexner and Jeffrey Epstein and all these other people, Larry Summers and Larry Ellison and like Donald Trump, I guess, at this point, it's all part, or it's all maybe this is the managing structure of the very same organization that's talked about in the Eagle II documents. When back in the 60s, the CIA decided it needed to be out from under the control of the U.S. Congress, and it decided the best way to get out from under Congress was to have its own income. The best way to have its own income stream was to start selling black market drugs, heroin, to the soldiers in Vietnam. And so not only did you have the Vietnam War expanded, you had Operation Phoenix kickstarted, you had George H.W. Bush getting in this and being involved in the opium trade and the drug running and the Iran-Contra. And then you have Bill Gates, MENA, Arkansas, the boys on the track, the cover-ups he helped carry out there as the CIA was running drugs from their operations in South America, flooding the American streets. Dark Alliance by Gary Webb, of course, exposed this and blew the whole thing wide open, but they'd been running it for decades. And Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, at the time Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas, helped them to run. Their headquarters were in MENA, where they were, you know, running flights to and from Colombia and then spreading the drugs all over the United States. It's all the same group. It's all the same cabal. It's the same supranational intelligence network, intelligence community that launched COVID-19 and the Russiagate conspiracy and 9/11 and probably the assassination of Charlie Kirk and just about everything else that you can point to in the last several decades of shockingly precipitous decline here in America. So we'll get into like who this Epstein guy was. How did he have all of these connections? How did he know all of these people? Where did his money come from? Because a lot of this is being revealed in the emails. People are going around hunting desperately for Trump, and what they're finding is a bunch of unconfirmed, uncorroborated, baseless claims from anonymous people. They'll write all the headlines they want about that. It will not lead you any closer to understanding what this really represents. What this really represents is the New World Order, is the powers that be, is the banking combines intelligence manifestation. As we've explained a million times before, intelligence agencies came out of the banks and they've never left. When the CIA was founded from the OSS, where did they get, their strategies from? Where did they get their best practices from? Well, from MI6. Where did MI6 get them from? Well, the banking intelligence of the Rothschilds. So it all goes back to that, and it all ties in together. And it's not a coincidence that whether we're talking about DEI and ESG and white people being discriminated against or Jeffrey Epstein, it's literally exactly the same names pulling the strings every single time. Same people running drugs, same people stealing elections, same people burning down skyscrapers and running airplanes into them. The same people.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get Ultra Methylene Red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
This is what's live on the White House YouTube channel right now. It's just Trump reading a list, reading the naughty list of criminal illegal aliens. What do the names say? I can't quite read it. Can we full screen this? That is hilarious. It's a lo-fi Christmas vibe. That's hilarious. And it's got the actual names of people who have been arrested and then the crimes they've been arrested for. That is hilarious. Leonardo Ignat Austo, child abduction. Jose Manuel Fuentes Vargas, domestic battery, violation of a protection order, sexual assault of a victim, less than 13 years of age. Wow. So they actually list, I wonder how long this goes for. There you go. That's what's live on the Trump White House Christmas feed. All right. We're learning a lot from these Epstein files. Not that we necessarily didn't know already. just getting a little bit more clarity or a little bit more detail, I guess. You know, I sort of struggle. I mean, it's interesting, certainly compelling. Is that informative? I don't know. Latest Jeffrey Epstein file dump reveals troubling art of kids in NYC townhouse, disturbing role play costumes. Yeah, I mean, he was a prolific rapist. You know, it's like, okay, I guess we can learn exactly what his fetishes were. Is this helping us to uncover the worldwide illegal power structures? Not so much. In one snap, the unsettling artwork of a little boy looking down inside his pants can be seen on display inside the dead pedophile's home. I mean, there's pictures of him with little kids. Others show childlike role-playing costumes laid out, as well as numerous framed prints of children, including one where a little girl is perched on his shoulders. There's creepy taxidermy animals, including a dog and tiger. We're also seen scattered throughout the home. I mean, this is the type of thing where you see somebody like Jeffrey Epstein, and before anybody knew the truth about him, he would have seemed like this suave, cool, connected. He had all the greatest friends. He was a billionaire. He owned an island. I mean, it was, you know, he's this highfalutin guy that I'm sure would talk down to you about all of the art that he had. And then it's like you go in, and it's like a weird, mentally ill Tumblr page. It's all porcelain dolls and creepy masks and big life-size pictures of him with children, and it's just, this is weird, man. These people are freaks. Literal freaks. So just whenever you're watching, you know, the mainstream news or whatever, and it's these people trying to claim, you know, talk down to, you know, whatever, middle Americans or whoever, just remember, they go home and their walls are covered in art that you never want your friends to see. It's so weird, man. And that's really like, what is, you know, what else is there to say other than that? Like, yeah, we can get infinite evidence of just how creepy and weird these guys are. But like, there's no bottom. I mean, we aren't even being exposed to the real creepy stuff. The real stuff that we know goes on. And of course, they just have these bizarre connections. Like, there's this one. Jeffrey Epstein's disturbing pedophile island temple revealed in images released by the Department of Justice. From Gateway Pundit. And if we go to the article or go to my computer screen, I've got images here. And it starts off by saying, no, it's not a gym. They called it a gym. The mainstream media reports were like, yes, the gym on the top of the island. The very distinctly temple-like gym. For a long time, MSN insisted in calling this creepy building on the highest point of Little St. James Island the gym, when there's obviously a religious, cultish aspect to the cube. Yeah, it's pretty occulty. Temple with the dome and bird statues. While the images of the DOJ release mostly show the temple in a semi-dismantled state, when seen in all its demonic glory with the golden dome and the gilded bird statues, there's no doubt that there's something very dark at work here. So again, you've got an owl, you've got Moloch, you've got the symbol of Bohemian Grove or Athena or whatever other name they apply to these neo-pagan worship ceremonies. And a New York Post reported, sicko financier Jeffrey Epstein's twisted pedophile island included an unnerving temple-like building featuring an elaborate ceiling mural depicting signs of the zodiac and a pair of ratty mattresses. The cube-like building, adorned in Grecian-style blue and white stripes, was erected at the highest point of the sprawling private enclave in the U.S. Virgin Islands, flanked by palm trees and positioned overlooking the sea on a two-tier stone terrace decorated with bold pink geometric shapes. Now here is a very distinct shelving inlay. Of course, as it notes on Gateway Pundit, the bookshelf with two columns reminiscent of the Masonic Jachin and Boaz, to, you know, some of the most prominent symbols in masonry are the two pillars. It goes back to the Temple of Solomon. And these two pillars are, of course, differently designed. One is one has a texture to it. The other is straight up and down. Again, representing the occultish purpose of these types of decorations. The interior of the mysterious structure, the purpose of which was not immediately clear, appeared to be in a state of disrepair despite its grandiose decor, with exposed cement board panels as well as a bit of wood strewn throughout. They go on to say a few observations about on this report by the New York Post. One, in the temple is not in disrepair. It's being dismantled after the Epstein trafficking ring was busted. The building style is not related to Greece. It has been a long time since internet sleuths found this temple, copied a style of bathhouses in Aleppo, Syria. Although I think there are other inspirations you can point to as well. And finally, three, the purpose of the temple is clear, disturbing as it may be. The question is what kind of religion or cult was practiced there with Islamic stripe patterns, golden domes, bird statues, and constellations on the ceiling. Plus, they're all Jews. That's a disturbing thing to think about, so people prefer to call it a gem, a ceiling mural depicting the mythical images of the constellations. And I thought this was weird. This is the type of stuff, I don't know, man. I don't even know what to make of this stuff anymore. On the Gateway Pundit, they say the mattresses most probably were used by workers dismantling the temple. Do other people read that and just accept it? This is what blows my mind. Gateway Pundit, pretty good, right? One of the best outlets out there for truthfulness and reporting in politics. They point out the Masonic influences. They're pointing out the occultish purpose of this building, obviously. But it's almost like I can never read an article without at least one line just making me go, what the hell are they talking about? Like, I honestly want to know. If you're reading this article and you come upon a picture of mattresses and you see that the subtitle is "The mattresses most probably were used by workers dismantling the temple," does that make sense to you? Because it doesn't make sense. Just play that out in your head. What? Okay, so the workers dismantling the temple, what they do, go to mattress firm, they hop over to the other island, bring over mattresses, haul them up to the top of the hill, put them in the temple because they're going to dismantle the temple for so long they're going to have to sleep there? What are you talking about? Again, it doesn't even matter. It literally doesn't matter. It's just like kind of a one-off thing, but I don't know, man. It's like with the Candace Owens stuff, and it's like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on in the world. I don't know what's happening in people's minds. I don't know why people would write something like that. And, you know, again, it doesn't mean anything. It's completely random and non-important. But it's just, to me, it's like symbolic of just like, what are we doing? Is everybody lying all the time? I don't know. That just kind of blew my mind. When they're like, the mattresses were probably used by the workers to sleep on. Why would they not go home? Why would they not go to the giant mansion house and sleep there? Why would they bring mattresses up to the temple? Were they really working all night on this and just were going to collapse at a certain point and just needed mattresses there? Anyway, whatever. We can move on. But it's just like, can we ever just have anything just be straightforward? The mattresses were probably there to rape children on. That should be the subtitle. How about the mattresses most probably were used by Epstein to rape children in the temple? It's part of a ceremony. Because he worshiped demons. How about that as a subtitle? Anyway. It just all makes me feel insane. I just see stuff like that and I'm like, is the world playing a trick on me? Is there a hidden camera? Well, there's lots of cameras, but I don't get it. I don't get it. And it's like every article I read at least has one line that just makes me go, am I crazy? Now I don't trust the whole article. Now I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I genuinely feel like the only sane person in the world sometimes. I know that makes like, it's because of this, I'm sure insane people think that too. Like, my logic is very clear and simple. And I'm like the only one that can grasp it. I don't get it, man. But okay. Mattress Firm for all your Temple needs. Hey, maybe they deliver. You know, maybe the workers that were hired to dismantle the temple, they thought, gee, where are we going to sleep? I guess we'll sleep in the temple we're deconstructing. But wait, mattresses, like what? I don't know, man. I don't know, dude. I don't know. I don't get it. People just say things. It doesn't make any sense. But let me just, all right. Can I just run through some articles here? I'll just run through some headlines and, you know, just sort of just soak it in. All right. Just understand this. Just take it in. Just don't think about it too much. Just accept what I'm telling you because, you know, most of this is true. As far as I can tell, like anything I've looked into is true. And so far, you know, this is just some of the claims. I don't know. I've probably found more in here. But we are supposed to believe that Jeffrey Epstein, on his own, by his own volition and on his own initiative, personally ran a giant pedophile network for which there are no customers or clients. And everybody, I mean, the official story actually doesn't really make any sense. But that's because they can't sell you the official story. The official story would cause a revolution in understanding who it is that's running the world, how they got there, the lie of democracy, the manipulation of the banks. Remember, it all goes back to the banks, all of it. Can I just remind you again, the leaders of Canada, England, France, and Germany are all former bankers with the biggest banks in the world. I mean, you might as well say right now, France is run by the Rothschilds, Canada is run by the Bank of England, whoever Merz was with, I think he was with BlackRock, actually, Frederick Merz, Chancellor of Germany. So, you know, when we talk about this all goes back to the banks, this is all, you know, in the Fed is the head of the snake, the banking system, the banking combine, starts all the wars, every war is bankers' wars. Like, understand, it's not theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. And at this point, it seems like things were sort of slipping out of their control when they were controlling things through one, you know, position removed. And they just said, we better just take it over. We better just take the reins. You know, it was useful for a time to have a gay art teacher, Trudeau, act like the leader of Canada while we ran things, but let's just put Carney in. Let's just put the Bank of England in. They'll just run it. I guess Keir Starmer was a lawyer. He paid his dues by letting out the rape gangs that destroyed British youth. So, you know, he paid his dues, although he may have, you know, he was a lawyer, right? He was a lawyer. But everybody else, they're all just literally bankers. So the bank executives have appointed themselves as leaders of these countries. And it's working out great for them. But okay, let me see if there are any others here that I should add to the stack before we just start going through. Because I just want to ask you sort of, you know, who is this person? How did they get to this position? How did they find themselves in the role to be so many things to so many different people and organizations? And what do we have to do to get out from under this? All right. You know what? I'm going to put this one at the end. We're going to end with probably the biggest bombshell one to me. Let's read through these headlines. House Democrat exchanged texts with Epstein on how to hurt Trump during 2019 congressional hearing. Remember, this is when he was literally pulling the puppet strings on the puppet in live time. He's actively texting a Democrat words to say during an official congressional proceeding, and then she repeats them verbatim. His words, her mouth, his hand, her puppet. Okay? Pretty incredible position to be in. Jeffrey Epstein claimed to have meddled in Israel's elections. Now you can understand why Trump wakes up in the middle of the night sweating when he hears you and I are friends. That's one of the sensational, damning Epstein messages that have been roundly quoted since being extracted from more than 20,000 documents released by the House Oversight Committee last week, a seeming reference to the power Epstein held via the damaging information he had amassed on the rich and influential, the now president included. And, of course, he brags about taking credit for former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak's re-entry into Israel politics in 2019, which aimed to topple current Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the second of what would be three Israeli elections in a year. Okay, so somehow he is manipulating the Israeli election. Amazing stuff. Financier, former math teacher. Larry Ellison vetted Marco Rubio for fealty to Israel, hacked emails reveal. So these were emails between Epstein, his associates, and others. Larry Ellison was talking to Ehud Barak, I believe. It may have been Epstein himself, about connecting Tony Blair, who would be a serviceable avatar for them, with Marco Rubio, another person who can be trusted to support their positions. Okay, so they're dictating who's going to be like United Nations ambassador, who's going to get to be Prime Minister of England, who gets the contract for rebuilding Gaza, who gets the contract for digital ID, who gets to buy CBS News and TikTok, who gets to take over Paramount. Sounds like I listed a lot of people. It's Larry Ellison, okay? Very good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein pursued a Swiss Rothschild bank to finance Israeli cyber weapon empire. You know, he was a financier. He was a financier. He, you know, loved art. He helped to fund, you know, big tech projects. No, he was a kingpin. He was a capo in a global mafia. That is the way to think about this. And I've been making this case for the entire time I've been at InfoWars. Because our position has never changed, because we are actually the consistent ones, because we're actually the ones that have been telling the truth about this for decades. And my position on this and many other, you know, aspects of modern American politics is very simple. We are run by a mafia. Everybody knows about mafias. It's never confusing when it's any other type of mafia. You understand that mafias are not solidified. Right? You don't have a published chain of command. It could be kind of wishy-washy. Somebody's in it for a little while and then they're not. Well, he's a lawyer for the mob, but he's not actually in the mob, but he does do work for them. And well, that person is, it's fluid. Some people are seemingly official, good, you know, real businessmen, but they're actually working for a wider crime syndicate. But you couldn't prove it because you look and they've got income and they've paid their taxes. So you don't really know. That's just what this is. That's all this is. It's just the highest level of that. It's the highest level of Jewish mafia. And there are multiple that are competing with each other for power, but it always stays in their hands. That's all this is. Now, if I talk about the Italian mafia, nobody blames me for hating Italians. When I talk about the Jewish mafia, the only people want to make it like I'm insulting the, I don't know, car salesman down the road who happens to be Jewish. Well, I can say that, you know, the Godfather or Tony Soprano is an Italian working with other Italians to benefit his perception of Italian-American interests. Nobody thinks I hate Italians for saying the truth, right? That's all this is. Semi-legal, it's semi-illegal. It's sort of casual. You don't put anything in writing. And just like if you watch The Sopranos, you know, what is Tony Soprano's job? What does he do? I mean, on paper, he's like a sanitation developer or whatever. He manages sanitation. In reality, what's he doing? He walks into the politician's office and he says, I need this, and the politician gives it to him. He goes to the guy who owns the money and he breaks his legs unless he gives it to him. That's his job. His job is, finding out where the contracts from the city are going and threatening the guy to make sure he gets them and then giving the no-show jobs to his other friend that he owes for this thing. And, you know, this is what it is. Imagine The Sopranos, but on a global stage with billions of dollars at their disposal. Instead of shaking down the local construction site in New Jersey, they're shaking down the country of America. They're shaking down, you know, weapons manufacturers. And as soon as you put it in those terms, is it confusing? Is it hard to comprehend? Is it racist? Is it anti-Semitic? No. It's all very simple. Why was Jeffrey Epstein chosen for this? Because he was fit for the role. He was both in charge and a subject. Just like I've always said with Bill and Hillary Clinton. Anytime we talk about Hillary Clinton, I try to make the point, you know, she may be a kingpin in this operation, but the operation exists outside of her and above her. And in a way, when the system protects Hillary, it's actually the system protecting itself. When it goes out of its way to protect Bill Clinton, it's actually just protecting itself, because Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, these are vulnerabilities that may lead to a wider damage against the overall network. And this has been obvious from the very beginning, right? Bill Clinton showed he was willing to play ball in Arkansas because the drug running operations are on Contra. So he was shown to be a good servant, a good employee, a good functionary for this wider criminal cabal. And so he was allowed to gain more and more power because they knew they could trust him to wield it on their behalf. Same with Hillary Clinton. Same with Jeffrey Epstein. And they got you by the balls, man. I mean, they give you a couple billion dollars. Yeah, you're theirs from then on. And they'll use you. And they'll manipulate you, and you'll manipulate other people, and you'll be given the appearance of power. You'll be given the feeling of authority over the children that you kidnap. And then when you die, they'll take all the money that they gave you, and they'll take it back, and they'll give it to somebody else who will carry on the operation in the same function. It's a mafia. It's a corporate entity of a variety of people, and just like in a mafia. They might disagree with each other about certain things. They might want to pursue one thing or another, but at the end of the day, they won't betray each other. They'll protect each other, because at the end of the day, protecting each other is protecting themselves. Because I'm going to pull my strings to get you let off the case, because if you're declared guilty, that might lead to me. I'm going to protect you, not because I like you, but because I need to protect myself. So it's a giant mafia, global mafia network of shared interests and blackmail. It's not complicated. It's just evil.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters, and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it. then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
Alex Jones.
How would you describe him?
He's a hugely influential conspiracy theorist.
His ravings are untethered from reality.
It's a nasty piece of work, but I think he's also a deflating windbag.
He's not right in the head.
I'm very pro-free speech, and the word dangerous is used far too liberally. In his case, I think it's actually justified. Yeah.
Could he be a threat to American democracy?
Everyone thinks he's a crazy motherfucker, and they never heard him talk. They think he's just nuts. And he is crazy, he is. But you gotta be crazy to stand in front of the world and put your ass on the line and say the things he's saying. So you gotta be a little crazy. It's like a rock star, like Axl Rose, oh, he's crazy. Yeah, he's Axl fucking Rose.
There is a war for your mind.
Information is the unlock.
Information war.
I come to you with a spring in my step, a song in my heart, emotionally and spiritually refreshed, because you know how, as humans, we have to accept the fact that sometimes bad things happen to good people? Well, by the grace of God, sometimes bad things happen to Alex Jones.
That's a good thing.
The despicable and ridiculous Alex Jones
deserves every minute of torture.
I don't like giving people like Alex Jones a platform, but what do you do? He's out there.
Tucker Carlson continues to fawn over Jones, calling
him one of the most important truth tellers in America today.
What does it mean for the future of InfoWars?
InfoWars.com.
This is InfoWars, right?
I think everybody wants to know, will
he be shut down?
This verdict shuts down Alex Jones? Good. I guess the good guys just won the InfoWars.
He is the number one threat to these people.
Take the bullhorn away.
You know, kicked us off the internet, tried to ban our IP, got banks to cancel us, lawsuits, censorship, investigations from the FBI. I mean, everything has been thrown at us.
Take him out. Make certain he can't rebuild the platform.
That's what matters.
I hope that we never see someone like him again.
InfoWars.com lives. People can come to my show every day, 11 a.m. Central, and they can hear what I'm actually saying, Piers, versus what you're trying to put in my mouth.
You got God's warriors coming together like the SWAT team of free thought.
It has become more than ever a litmus test as to whether you get what's going on in the world or not.
This is InfoWars, right?
If you don't get what Alex Jones represents, if you can't recognize that Alex Jones is the real deal, you don't get anything.
We're going to give this information on InfoWars.
You have no concept of the wider perspective here. If you still can't see through the lies that are telling you that Alex Jones is somehow not who he says he is, you still can't get it.
We've been fighting this battle for a long time, Alex, and we just got to salute you as a Christian and as American because you paved the way to make braver soldiers like us today.
This is about good versus evil and God fighting the devil. You got to pick a side now.
InfoWarriors.
All we ever do is promote human freedom of every race, color, and creed. Our message is really imperative for everyone to understand, like, this is the way out. It's about understanding that every single human being has a right to live their life the way they want, unmolested and uncontrolled by those with more power than them. So no matter what they say about us, no matter how they want to portray us, just know that InfoWars really represents something totally unique, totally special, and an existential threat to the most vicious, evil, totalitarian, and importantly, miserable people on the earth. Who is the number one player in all of this? Who is the number one symbol of alternative media and, you know, internet content? It is
the legend that is Alex Jones, and you were fighting on the front line, and now we're here with you. You got some other superheroes, part of the Avenger movie, fighting for Christ and free speech.
Folks, we really are going to save this country, and we really are going to save this planet.
On InfoWars, think about that for a second.
They're going to remember Alex Jones. They're going to remember InfoWars.
Whatever.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The War Room, Infowars.com, band.video. Please do share those links and cut out clips yourself, upload them yourself. We love when you do that, and that's probably the easiest, freest, and most fun way to support us. But, of course, you can go to thealexjonesstore.com and actually... There was a very weird serendipitous series of events today, and this is just me, but this morning, it's just weird how this stuff works. My wife has beef tallow something, some sort of makeup thing in these little jars, and they've been there forever. She's had it forever, but I've never like looked at it until this morning. And for some reason this morning, as I'm getting ready in my bathroom, I start reading the label on this tallow container, and I'm sitting there going, man, this stuff sounds great, because it's like, you know, it's going massive, you know, all these full of vitamins and it has all this great stuff. And you know, I genuinely don't even know what. I guess it's tallow based makeup of some sort, I'm not even sure, but it just happened to be this morning. It was the first time, these things have been there for years, it's the first time in years I've actually read it, and I'm sitting there going, you know, InfoWars should probably sell tallow. This seems like a cool product. I bet we could get into this. And then I just, you know, keep getting ready, come in, only to discover that we have beef tallow now. Like, I don't know why. It's just very serendipitous. I don't know what this, if this means something, but it's just one of these occurrences where I see this beef tallow that my wife has as whatever makeup forever. I never read it. This morning, I'm like, huh, tallow, huh? This seems like some pretty cool stuff. I wonder if we ever sell any of this. And then this morning... it's revealed Optimal Human beef tallow, grass-fed, highest quality, gluten-free, no artificial ingredients, available now at thealexjonesstore.com. What do you know? What are the odds? So yeah, tallow is really amazing stuff, and you can do a lot with it. You can get 25% off right now when you become a subscriber at thealexjonesstore.com. And of course, beef tallow has been, you know, making the rounds, getting a lot more attention because it's a better alternative to fry things in. And a lot of restaurants out there now are advertising that they have fries fried in tallow, not vegetable oil, because people are realizing what an unhealthy and unnatural thing a lot of these olive oil is actually good, but the canola oil and all these other oils, they're not good. Much better is beef tallow. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients. Unlike seed oils, which are fake, toxic garbage, beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health. And you can get 25% off now when you become a subscriber today at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. And when you compare it to seed oils, which is sort of what it would replace in your kitchen, it just doesn't even compare. I mean, It's like, would you rather eat an apple or a fake apple made of wax and cyanide? Like, which one would you rather eat? That's sort of the option you're being presented with. Would you rather be presented with beef tallow, 100% pure beef fat, packed with vitamins, vitamin A, vitamin D, E, K, it supports your hormone health, it's not processed industrially, there's no additives, there's no preservatives, this stuff's been used by humans for centuries, has a high smoke point, so you can fry, you can roast, you can bake, you don't have toxic fumes, rich, clean, good flavor. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have seed oils that are ultra-processed, totally poison, zero nutrients, linked to all these horrible issues like obesity and heart issues? I mean, it really is a no-brainer. You should be using beef tallow already. If you haven't tried it, now's the time. And if you do have, you know, enjoy using beef tallow, ours is the best. As we always do, we just get the best product available on the market and we bring it to you at the best price we can get it. And we ask you to support us by supporting yourself, getting these fantastic products at fantastic prices. It really is a win-win-win-win-win situation. Also, you get free money somehow. I want to find out what that's about. Well, you can find out by going to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Let them know who sent you. And, of course, you're still getting 60% off Mega Blue, Methylene Blue Tinctures, CMOS gummies, the Shilajit gummies are all 60% off today. But that ends tonight. Plus, all other supplements are up to 40% off when you try them once. 50% off if you subscribe. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Like I said, it's simple. And it's, you know, it just makes us the least programmable, least hackable, least controllable outlet ever. Because we don't even have sponsors. We don't even have sponsors. We don't even ask for your, you know, subscription fee or anything. It's just if you like us, go to thealexjonesstore.com, support us, buy a product. It'll improve your health. It'll help us. And that's just how it works. Okay? If you don't like what I'm saying, if you don't like what we're covering, then I guess you won't support us. I'd rather you call in and tell me so I can get it right. But the audience is the only one we listen to. That's it. It's especially interesting for me because Alex doesn't even tell me what to do. Like, literally nobody tells me what to cover. Nobody tells me what to say. Sometimes I wish they would. It would be a lot easier if I didn't have to come up with everything myself. Be a hell of a lot easier if I didn't have to determine for myself how I'm going to cover everything and what it all means and who to insult when. It'd be a lot nicer to have it all scripted, but that's not the world we live in. So, let's go now to clip number 14. This is so typical of the American government. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I'm going to open up the phone lines. I'm going to take your calls this last hour. Got some people on Twitter saying I don't open up calls enough. We're making up for that. I'm going to open up the lines. Give us a call. 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call here on The War Room. Now let's go to clip number 14. This is what users are discovering. The just baffling amount of incompetence in the American government. The redactions on many of the files uploaded to the Jeffrey Epstein file dump are easily avoided. The redactions themselves are a separate layer on top of the document, and you can take the image of the document into a word processor, or you can copy and paste it in your browser, or you can take it into a program like Photoshop, and you can unredact the redactions. Let's watch.
Oh, look at this pesky redaction. Let's just get rid of that.
That is insane.
This is what happens when you fire government.
Yeah, they're blaming it on firing government employees. I don't think that's really the issue here. You almost have to try to be that bad at publishing stuff like this. How do you not know to merge the layers? Has nobody ever taught the government to merge the layers? They got it wrong in like 2016 when they came out with the Obama fake birth certificate. They still haven't figured out how to print as PDF, merge layers. Like, what? Guys, it might be on purpose. It might honestly be on purpose. the weird thing is a lot of these people are unredacting a lot of these documents, and not all of them can be unredacted like this, but a lot of them can. And what they're choosing to redact, kind of weird. Kind of not a reason for them to be redacting some of these things. I'd like to know the logic that went into some of this. Let's go to clip number two here. And this is how anybody can read the redactions of the Epstein files simply by copying the image and pasting onto a Word document. Let's watch.
Okay, guys, I just woke up and people are saying that the Epstein files can be read if you just copy and paste them into a Word doc. Whoever blacked out these documents used Adobe Acrobat, and apparently it's really easy to see what the redactions are. This doesn't work for every document. It only works for the documents where whoever redacted them was an idiot and didn't know what they were doing. So we'll go to this document, and I'll open it in a new window. You can see it pops up in Adobe Acrobat. And if we scroll down to anything that was blacked out, all you have to do is copy it and then open a Word doc and then paste it in. And that is the redacted amount right there. From another Epstein's personal accounts with another different bank for which another different bank, for some reason that was blacked out. We can look at the next line. Payments from this account totaling almost, so this is 111. Payments from this account totaling almost 60,000 were transferred by wire to young women, mostly at foreign beneficiary banks. Why would they black out those dollar amounts? I don't know. But you could literally read the redactions in the Epstein files, some of the documents, if you just copy and paste it into a Word doc. That's how stupid the people are working for Trump. And those are the people that Trump put in charge of this. So I'm sure there are people out there who have downloaded everything, and now they have to go through each document, copying and pasting to see what was blacked out. It's not every document, but this is pretty hysterical.
Yeah, kind of embarrassing. Kind of embarrassing. From The Guardian, some Epstein file redactions are being undone with hacks. Unredacted text from released documents began circulating on social media on Monday evening. People examining documents released by the Department of Justice in the Jeffrey Epstein case discovered that some of the file redactions can be undone with Photoshop techniques or by simply highlighting text to paste into a word processing file. Unredacted text from these documents began circulating through social media on Monday evening. An exhibit in a civil case in the Virgin Islands against Darren K. Indyke and Richard D. Kahn, two executors of Epstein's estate, contained redacted allegations explaining how Epstein and his associate had facilitated the sexual abuse of children. The exhibit was the second amended complaint in the state case against Indyke and Kahn. In Section 85, the redacted portion states, quote, between September 2015 and June 2019, Indyke signed FAC for over $400,000 made payable to young female models and actresses, including a former Russian model who received over $380,000 through monthly payments of $8,333 made over a period of more than 3.5 years until the middle of 2019. Prosecutors in the Virginia Islands settled its civil sex trafficking case against Epstein's estate, Indyke and Kahn, in 2022 for $105 million. And do you remember who the woman was who helped them settle that case? Would it surprise you to know that it was the very congresswoman who was caught taking direction from Jeffrey Epstein in text messages, the representative from the Virgin Islands? Isn't that interesting? Indyke, an attorney who represented Epstein for decades, has not been criminally indicted by federal authorities. He was hired by the Parlator Law Group in 2022 before the Justice Department settled the Epstein case. The firm represents the defense secretary, Pete Hegseth, and previously represented Donald Trump in his defense against charges stemming from the discovery of classified documents stored at the Florida estate, Trump's Florida estate. Calls and emails seeking comment from Indyke and Parlator Law Group have not yet been returned. So again, we've got a lot of unredactions here. Redactions in Section 183 through 192 of the document describe property taxes paid by the companies incorporated by Epstein on properties that were not on the same balance sheet as those firms. Again, kind of weird that all the money stuff is redacted. And it's unclear how the redactions conform with the Epstein Files Transparency Act, considering that they only gave the Department of Justice the right to withhold certain information, such as the personal information of victims and materials that would jeopardize an active federal investigation. It's unclear how property material complies with the redaction standard under the law. So that's very interesting. Here you have more examples of what has been uncovered under the redactions. People searching for the word Trump, obviously. And it has a lot about Michael Cohen and Trump's prosecutions and money and the prosecution of Michael Flynn. So they're saying that, you know, Trump has actually included a lot more in this, but it's all been redacted. But I don't see, again, anything pointing to Trump as having done anything bad. Now, there's a claim in here about Trump raping somebody, but let me go to that one because I'll explain it here. Because it's one of the more popular ones being spread around. Now, on the face of it, it's baseless and can basically be ignored. Prima facie, Federal Bureau of Investigation. It's the recounting of an FBI interview from the year 2020 in which somebody claims to have been a limo driver. And in 1997, he overheard somebody else talking about somebody else that was raped by Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, so how many connections do you need before the source? Right, it's not the girl who did it. It's not somebody who knew the girl. It's not somebody who knew somebody who knew the girl. It's somebody who was a limo driver for somebody who was talking about knowing the girl who said she was claimed by Donald Trump. And this was 23 years ago? Wasn't brought up until 2020. And for some reason is included in this. And one of the reasons why it's so viral is because it talks about the woman, is now dead and noted she was found, quote, with her head blown off in Kiefer, Oklahoma. Officers on the scene stated there was no way it was a suicide. I mean, that's a pretty big one. That's a pretty big deal. Of course, as I've just explained, none of the facts around it lended any credence whatsoever. It's 23 years later. It was during the election cycle of 2020. It was something that had never been brought up in any meaningful way before. It was somebody who claimed to have overheard somebody with the knowledge of the, it's just like, this should really be nothing. Yeah, this is the top link on Drudge, by the way. Top link on Drudge. Worst Epstein released on Christmas Eve. Trump rape claim. Oh my God. Well, it's not true. It's just completely fabricated, and we've actually already been through this before from the skiff. Another Trump slander campaign debunked. This is why Democrat approval rating is at 18%. All they do is lie. Another fabricated story from paid influencers to slander President Trump, literally originating from a former Jerry Springer show producer known for hoaxes. That's what's circulating on social media. No corroboration exists. No limo driver testimony. No Oklahoma death matching the description. This story was a distorted version of another hoax that was debunked years ago. They are desperate and have nothing, and they know it and resort to literal AI pictures and confirmed hoaxes that they've been debunked years ago and attempt to slander Trump because they're paid to lie right to your face. You better wake up and stop listening to people who are paid to lie to you and telling you to stop asking questions. So, again, this claim that we just read through, never been substantiated, long declared a hoax, and that's back when it had, you know, more serious accusations than some limo driver heard 23 years ago that he's pretty sure this happened, okay? Let's go to your phone calls now. I've got more we can get into. We can get into more of the redacted, more of the bizarre things revealed in the Epstein files. We'll go out to your phone calls now. Let's just go in the order they came in. So line one first, Icarus, I think it says. Go ahead, Icarus, you're on the air.
Merry Christmas, Harrison.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, first I wanted to talk about Candace Owens. I think it's a common thing we're going to see more of for people who have, like, just eaten, like, red pill recently. It's kind of like when InfoWars was, like, in its infancy, that, like, when people first, you know, go down the rabbit hole, it's like everything's a red pill, everything's a conspiracy, and bees and Egyptians, and
you know, for some reason, I'm picturing, like, The Matrix and Neo talking to Morpheus and being like, you're a robot. It's Morpheus like, dude, I'm the one that gave you the red pill. I'm the one that told you about this. Neo's like, how do I know you're not the robot, though? But wait a second. What if Trinity's also a robot? Are we all robot? It's like, that's great. That's actually exactly what it's like. Neo takes the red pill and then immediately starts telling Morpheus about The Matrix. It's like, dude, You just woke up. Chill. Have some humility. Sorry to interrupt, but I actually really like that imagery.
Okay. Yeah, and like, you know, she's her friend was murdered in front of everybody as like a ritualistic assassination, and on 4K. So like, you know, I think everybody also needs to bear with her if people are taking trauma in different ways. That's what I wanted to say about Candace Owens. She still has good content, and she's a, you know, great talker and everything. And, you know, nobody's perfect, and I think we need to fight for unity and try to always make things team situation. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Okay. But wait. Before we move on, I agree completely. So what do you do when Candace Owens is wrong?
You have to show them the evidence, break it down, and most importantly, you got to be patient, because people are going to get like, you know, like when Neo wakes up from the Matrix, he's all like, whoa, and he like pukes and stuff,
right.
Gets the spins, and that's what's kind of going. Plus, it's like a girl thing, emotional thing going on, I think, is my read of it, you know, of course.
Yeah.
But with Epstein, I think he's still alive. I remember on Twitter, there was the day he died, this guy posted on the street in New York, like at sunrise, an armored truck going right from the jail to the private airport and Learjet to Israel, was what was on Twitter. I can't find that right now.
Now that I haven't seen. What I've seen the image of the cadaver, the supposed dead body, and I've seen the comparisons of his ear. The ear and the cadaver does not match the ear of Jeffrey Epstein. And everybody should know by this point, your ears are similar to your fingerprints, totally unique and, you know, recognizable to you. You can actually use it as a form of identification if you're, you know, doing forensics. I remember that. And I remember the image of the drone shot of the person that looks awful similar to Jeffrey Epstein after he was supposedly dead on his island walking around. But I never saw the armored truck thing. That's new to me. I'd be interested to see that.
And that would explain why the cameras were off. If he was just, you know, as a billionaire having an escape plan, how much would you have to spend to bribe everybody there and have them to turn the camera off? You know, like billionaires don't just die like that with money in the bank. And plus, people like that are always going to have an escape plan, you know, like not only in the movies, but like Hitler and everybody had those escape plan situations. But with the most recent releases, I thought it was interesting not only that he was into crystals, he had like crystals on his desk, he was a crystal guy. But Harrison, I wanted to ask you, did you see what was on the bookshelf behind him on his desk?
I saw he had the Talmud. I saw he had like 30 volumes of the Talmud on there. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, he had all the Torah and Talmud stuff. And I think that's the key point about why this whole Epstein debacle is so sensitive and has all this problem in the media. Is just like the other Israel stuff going on, how it's just a nerve. And it's always been this way. It's not anything that Nick Fuentes invented or it came out. You know, there was Francis Ford Coppola, the chess master, Bobby Fischer, you know, talked about it. And it was always simmering underneath, and it wasn't addressed post-World War II. And now I think because of the Gaza situation and the genocide and the killing and all that stuff being on 4K on everyone's phones, people have realized, like, oh, we kind of need to address this, and they're pushing back with their power monopoly they have in various agenda groups and parts in the economy and worldwide. So I think it's just a big, giant madhouse, you know, like the Mad Tea Party.
Yeah,
you know?
No, you're exactly like right. That. You're exactly right. And sorry for laughing. I don't know if you're watching on but the crew just pulled up a meme. How do I know you're not a robot? Dude, chill. You just woke up. That's very good. Thank you very much for the call, Incubus. I completely agree with what you're saying. I could not agree more, in fact. And, yeah, I think that's obviously what's being exposed here and what's being unraveled, what's being uncovered by all of this. We'll be right back with more final segment on the other side. Don't go anywhere, folks. More calls.
President Trump was cooking at McDonald's the other day and giving people french fries. And people criticized me and they said, well, you know, he's out there giving fast food. And I said, I don't have anything against fast food. I'm against food that has seed oils. When I was a kid, McDonald's was made with tallow fat. That was good for you. Your body needs that. It makes you healthy.
It's great.
Why aren't we making it with Telefat again?
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
People are raving about these french fries. You taste them.
They're amazing. They really are.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard ROK Jr. rave about it. The health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. And it is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients, unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage. Beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health and is so good for your brain. Get 25% off right now. Beef tallow is 100% pure beef fat concentrated, packed with vitamins like A, D, E, and K to support hormone health and fuels your brain with clean energy. No industrial processing, used by humans forever. No additives, preservatives, or GMO garbage. High smoke point to support various cooking methods like frying, roasting, or baking without releasing toxic fumes or free-range free radicals. Rich, clean flavor. Ladies and gentlemen, it's night and day. Beef tallow is the best. We've got a private label, one of the top brands in the country at thealexjonesstore.com. We are so excited about this. And again, Kennedy talks about the health effects, talks about how delicious it is. I remember until the 90s, the best places, you know, you get french fries at McDonald's where they went total GMO, fried their fries in beef tallow. And God, did they taste good. So it's also totally delicious. You fund the operation. And cows that God gave us are amazing. We also have our bovine colostrum is a private label of the highest quality, 2,000 milligrams per scoop with other natural herb compounds, the marshmallow root that accelerates it, and it's the first 2 weeks of any mammal, including humans, isn't what you think of as milk. It's basically clear, and it's full of all of these super nutrients that boost your immune system, that grow your brain, that help your cells, that energize everything. It's literally the first mother's milk concentrated. Big discounts on it right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And there's so many other amazing products there as well. We have the new creatine gummies that are the highest quality type of creatine, concentrated 5 milligrams per gummy. Everybody knows about creatine for your muscles and working out and your heart and stuff, but the brain effects and with your nerve endings, it is truly incredible. So be sure and check that out as well. Our new creatine gummies in 2 different flavors. It's a really great deal, a huge container of them for a low price. And then talk about your mitochondria, your cells, skipping multiple oxidation processes in the cells, cleaning them out, getting fast, clean energy with no letdown. And that's just the first effects. And everything else for your brain, your body, it is amazing. The workouts, Ultra Methylene Blue. We have the best medical grade. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard the rave reviews. You're insane if you don't get it. And yes, the third shipment, both have been small, because it's very hard to make. It's got so many great ingredients. Proprietary Methylene Red. Look at what's in it. Look up each ingredient. Ask Brock about it. Ask your doctor about it. Ultra Methylene Red, a limited shipment, just came in today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. I think maybe we just need to do a basics class. Basics in conspiracy theory. We need to do a conspiracy theory 101 class. Because here's what happens. You get sort of two events and you don't understand how they relate. And so your first step should be to investigate it, not to speculate wildly about it. Anyway, I just was seeing an exchange during the break of people being like, well, I thought InfoWars was supposed to go down. I thought, why is it still around? How is Alex still at the head? I guess that's proof he sold out to Israel. It's like, what? No, what? Okay, I can understand. I can be like, all right, Alex got this massive judgment, $1 billion. He's going to go down. But it's been 2 years and he's still there and he's still in operation. What could explain that? Maybe look into it. Maybe see if there's been like weekly developments in this front that Alex has talked about on a continual basis. Maybe check out the court transcripts that are all completely public where you can see exactly why every decision that was made at every instance up until now. You can look into the fact that they tried to rig the auction and got caught and the judge threw it out and said we have to do a new auction. And then it keeps getting pushed back and it's like, this is all available for you. But people just go, we don't understand why he's still around, therefore it's Israel. And it's like, you haven't even looked into it at all. That would be the first step, is seeing if there is an explanation. Now, if there's no explanation forthcoming, if you have a mystery, a gap in the data, and you do research and you can't find the information, then maybe you can start speculating. Then you can start plugging things in. But you should probably at least just go look first. Like, go check it out first. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. The quality of conspiracy theorists is just plummeting. I'm going to go back out to your calls. I do want to remind you, beef tallow, brand new product. It's a heavy bucket, too. There's a hefty product we have here. Ideal for frying, sautéing, baking, or as natural cooking oil substitute. Really, that's not even right. This says it's a cooking oil substitute. No. Cooking oil is the substitute for this. No, this is what people used to cook with. This is the natural stuff. This is the good stuff. This is the stuff with no preservatives, stuff that doesn't have to be processed, the stuff that was never, you know, designed as engine grease and only then later, you know, marketed as a food. No, beef tallow is the superfood. It's the original. All of the other cooking oils are all very poor imitations of this. This is the cooking oil. All that other stuff is the substitute. Beef tallow, get it today, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, Optimal Human, beef tallow. Get it for, I think, 25% off if you sign up for a regular delivery, which you may want to do considering the fact that once you start using it, you're going to use it for everything. Trust me. Just go look up. What can I do with beef tallow? It's amazing stuff. So try it now, thealexjonesstore.com. With that, we go to Jefferson in Virginia. Thanks for calling in, Candace Owens. You're on the air, Jefferson.
Hey, Harrison, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I think Candace has earned the right to be wrong. If you remember, initially they were saying they didn't know where the bullet went. And Alex was saying he saw that there was an exit wound at the back of Charlie Kirk's neck and the blood was flying out the back of his neck, blah, blah, blah. So Alex was getting it wrong from the beginning. And Candace came on and said,
Wait, hold on. Did he say, I don't think he ever said it. I remember Alex in the week after Charlie Kirk, he had on like, he had a constant stream of like gun experts that were in. I mean, I've heard Alex describe shooting, I think, a boar and the way it goes through. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering. I remember Alex being very much suspicious of the 30-06 and just repeating over and over, there's no way this was 30-06. It would have blown his head off. That's what I remember. But maybe I'm misremembering that. But I always thought Alex was very much on the forefront of questioning the gun that was supposedly used. Maybe I'm misremembering that. Sorry to interrupt, Jefferson.
Yeah, Alex said that he saw an exit wound at the back of Burke's neck and the blood spurting out the back. Now, he got it wrong, obviously. Candace Owens said, I've seen video from the camera that was directly behind Charlie Kirk. It was provided me by TP USA, and there is no exit wound.
Right.
So Alex was wrong about there being an exit wound. There should be an exit wound if it was a 30-06, but Alex was wrong. You can check the tape.
Okay. Can you tell me where this tape is? Because I want you to make your point. We can just assume for the case of argument that Alex was wrong about this, but I don't ever remember him. So, like, why would he say that he saw an exit wound if he didn't? I mean, is there a video that looks like a exit wound? I don't know. I just remember Alex talking over and over and over about the 30-06 and his experience hunting and how it would go right through a body and how it was all very suspicious. I mean, does the crew remember? If you can send me the video, I'm happy to be corrected. But
if I could get a word in edgewise here, you can talk all day if you want to, but I'm just saying, I heard him say it. It was within 4 days of the shooting, he said that he saw an exit wound and the blood spring out the back of his neck. I knew it was wrong when he said it, but we're so bad at taking calls now that I couldn't get through to say, Alex, so anyway, Candace made them come out with a statement that the unnamed surgeon said the bullet lodged in his neck. He had Superman spine material, blah, blah, blah. And then the next day, Alex was talking about how the bullet went down towards his heart and then ricocheted back up into his throat. And it was just become a mess of contradicting ourselves. Now it's a magic bullet that hit a Superman spine. And Candace was right from the beginning when she made them come out with the explanation that there is no missing bullet. For a while, for 4 or 5 days, they were saying, we don't know where the bullet went. Remember, we were talking about the exit wound being in the front, the exit wound being in the side, the exit wound being in the back. The bullet had to go somewhere. It was 30-odd-6. Then you had a caller come in and say, well, there is a round that comes from a 30-odd-6 that fur hunters use. It's called a frangible round. It's in a sabo, and when it hits somebody, the sabo's not there anymore, so the round that comes out was originally the size of a 30-odd-6, but it's actually much smaller, and it breaks into pieces. That way the fur hunter can use a 30-odd-6 to kill game but not destroy the fur, because the frangible bullet stays inside the animal. But those bullets have been illegal for like 30 years, so where Tyler Robinson would get a frangible round for a 30-odd-6, and none of the other bullets were frangible rounds, so that's an odd explanation. But Candace was right when she said there was no exit wound. Everybody else was wrong saying there had to be an exit wound, and we still don't know what the real explanation is from the unnamed surgeon, who I don't know when we go to court, but we'll finally learn what the surgeon's name is. But Candace has earned the right to be wrong on this. If everybody else is going to be wrong about not discounting that there is no way Tyler Robinson used a 30-odd-6 normal round to hit Charlie Kirk in the neck. And Alex was back and forth on this, where he's going, well, yeah, it would blow his head off, so to speak. But obviously there's no exit wound, so it's not a 30-odd-6 round unless it's the frangible one. And where Tyler Robinson would get that, who knows?
Okay. Yeah, I remember it all a little bit differently, but that's all fine. What's your point exactly? I mean, I also hesitate on giving Candace credit for, like, everybody was suspicious there wasn't an exit wound. Like, that was a very common thing. It's almost weird that it's like as if Candace Owens is the only one who had questions about any of this. Like, everybody had questions about this. Everybody was speculating about this. Candace is sort of the only one still doing it, but it's like, we all had questions about this. We all speculated. We all questioned what type of bullet could a 30-odd-6 do this. If there's no exit wound, what we saw, was that the exit wound? Did the bullet end up elsewhere? Like, this was all speculative. A lot of people were asking, how the bullet didn't leave the body. And then Andrew Colvett, asked the surgeon. The surgeon probably gave him an answer that you can imagine a surgeon giving. Well, his spine was very strong. He was a very healthy man, and it appears as though it deflected the bullet. And, it's a miracle that happened, because if it had gone through him, it could have hit somebody behind him. Andrew Colvett goes and writes that up, and, it becomes, oh, so now Charlie Kirk is Superman with steel in his bones. It's like, they never said his bones were made of steel. What are we talking? It's just an expression. It's a turn of phrase, and it's Andrew Colvett, I'm sure, in a raw emotional state of having his best friend and business partner murdered right in front of him, or, on camera, being like, wow, we can find little miracles even in tragedy. God allowed this bullet to be stopped so nobody else got hurt. As tragic as this is, it could have been worse. Maybe we can seize onto this little bright light. I don't know. It's like in the follow-up for this massive assassination, I don't think he was trying to, silence debate about this. I think he was just relaying what the surgeon said and sort of imbuing it with this, miraculous vibe around it, because that's how we felt about it. I mean, I think, TPUSA, these people, they're very, very Christian. Like, they're very faith. I don't actually question that. I don't actually think that that's weird. That actually makes sense to me, that somebody who just had their friend murdered would go, God stopped the bullet in them, but at least nobody else got hurt. And that was sort of like it was the last heroic act he did. It's just, they're just seizing on something, right?
It's an absolute miracle that may have saved lives during the fatal shooting. And then people treat that as if he's like, Charlie Kirk had bones made of steel, that's why, and it's a miracle, so if you question it, you don't believe in God. It's like, that's never the argument that's been made. But then apparently Candace talked to the surgeon, the surgeon's like, I never said that, so why Andrew Colvett would make that up in the first, again, like, what are we talking about? What is this? Does any of this even matter? Okay, what we know there was no exit wound. Okay. We know it's highly unlikely that a 30-06 would not leave an exit wound. Okay. What else? What else do we need to know? The surgeon apparently is the one that said it was a frangible bullet. So if that's not the case, if frangible bullets have been illegal for years, I guess the surgeon is lying. And now Candace is lying to you about the surgeon. And the thing is, everybody has a right to be wrong. It's how you respond to that. That really, you know, dictates the conversation. Now, she said this stuff about this congressman being at this meeting and this meeting taking place. And, you know, evidence was presented that showed that probably wasn't the case, including, video evidence of the congressman in a different state at the exact time. And in response, the Candace crowd has been to call Alex Jones a controlled op and say that he's threatening her because he says he's worried about her. So again, two people have called in. They both said it's fine to correct Candace. It's fine to, you know, say she's wrong. But that's all we did. And that's now we're being attacked by like thousands of different people pulling up clips from a long time ago that have nothing to do with anything, that are totally out of context, trying to frame us as Zionist stooges. So, okay. If it's okay for Candace to be wrong, if it's okay to tell Candace she's wrong, then everybody can shut up because that's all that we did. Thanks for the call, Jefferson. Let's go to Nick in California here. Go ahead. Nick, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Harrison, thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead.
You look great, brother.
Thank you.
I've been trying to bring this people's attention a lot, and it's been on my mind a lot. And I'm really interested in the scientific method and probing, like, how do we know what factually rather than everything being a matter of opinion, right?
Right.
And knowledge is such an incredible level of power. Like, as we saw during COVID, people's ability to acquire knowledge and check the facts and stuff like that was a major, pivotal aspect of, the public's ability to retain their liberty, right?
Yeah.
And so the globalists would need to somehow manage or control people's ability to, acquire new knowledge or double check what the experts are claiming and things like that. And the way that they do that is by making everyone feel like the scientific method is this thing that everyone sort of gets, and it's sort of a foregone conclusion that, you know, it's not robust enough or good enough, for daily life. And, then when you go to university and they try to teach you the scientific method, they make it really obscure and unwieldy and just overly confusing with, like, all these extra variables and using all this lingo that is not really boiled down to make it, like, really easy for people to pick up quickly and put to use. And the way they do that was something called DOE. It's called Design of Experiment. Instead of having, you know, people talking about experimental design, which is your standard good term for it, they have this code word called DOE, where they turned into an acronym, right? So then you have to decode that,
right?
Extra layer of obscurity. And then when you go and you learn about DOE, you can actually search Google for all of the .edu websites that have these pages on their university website about their DOE stuff.
Right.
And every single one of them, there's just hundreds of them, and every single one of them is just this maze. It's just this terrible maze, like a hall of mirrors. Sorry, my throat, I'm getting a little sad. It's like this, like, never-ending hall of mirrors of confusion.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely deliberate. And that's the thing, again, just, you know, think about it from the perspective of your enemies. I'm not sure if you're talking about the Candace Owens thing, or, well, hell, let's just talk about COVID. Like, not only would I be trying to hide the truth, I'd be seeding the information atmosphere with false trails to follow, you know, false rabbit warrens to explore, right? Rabbit holes to go down. Because not only if you can, you know, trick somebody who's searching for the truth, you're trying to hide the truth, they're searching for it. Well, if you can point them in a direction away from the truth, but do it in a way that seems sly and seems like they're discovering something they're not supposed to discover, then not only will you waste their time, you'll discredit them, right? Because you can point to them and go, oh, these are the type of people you hang out with. These are the types of things you believe. And so, you know, that's where you get things about COVID that were nonsense or crazy or out of left field, or the vaccine is snake poison or whatever it was. And it's like, okay, well, that just discredits the whole thing, which is why it's important to push back on speculation that's unfounded or claims that are untrue, because you discredit the whole thing. If you actually want to find out who killed Charlie Kirk, then accepting all statements from Candace Owens as gospel truth is not the way that you do that. And accepting all evidence, you know, uncritically, if it fits your preconceived notion, that's not the way you get the truth. So we just go for the truth. We just pursue the truth. So, you know, that puts us at odds with people that have decided they know the truth and are looking for information to back that up. Thanks for the call, Nick. Let's go to Alan in California now. Alan, you're on the air. You will be very soon. Line 5, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Merry Christmas, Harrison Smith, to Merry you Christmas. And your whole crew and Thank family. You. All right, brother. Hey, so a bunch of great calls going down some different trails, but I wanted to back up with the first caller that you took, talking about this. I want to chat about why you're right that Bill and Hillary never get arrested and the rest of them won't get arrested. But the Epstein picture with the Talmudic volumes in the back, okay?
Yep.
That's very key, okay, in that many of the Jewish leaders, I'm pretty sure Benjamin Netanyahu has described himself as an atheist, but if not him, many Jewish, you know, prime ministers have been, you know, outed themselves as atheists. They're not Jewish by faith. However, a lot of these leaders are Jewish by faith, and Talmudic is there's Orthodox, there's kind of, you know, liberal, and then there's also Talmudic. Talmudic is a very select sect, S-E-C-T. And Ben Shapiro, Ben from Daily Wire, that's Jim Ben Shapiro, right, of the Daily Wire, he's a self-described Talmudic Jew. That's very
right. It's the rabbinic order, yeah.
Well, it's not just the rabbinic order. It's very unique, okay? The Talmud is very unique about how they view our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how they treat non-Jewish people, as opposed to liberal Jews, as opposed to Orthodox Jews. So just look that up. So now, one last thing before I get to the Bill and Hillary Clinton, just do yourself a favor, look up Baron, B-A-R-O-N, Coleman, C-O-L-E-M-A-N, on YouTube. He's doing great work, all in reference to what happened with Charlie Kirk being assassinated. I believe that Tyler Robinson did not, he may have shot a rifle, but he did not kill Charlie Kirk. There was government agencies behind it. So that brings me around to Bill and Hillary Clinton. There's a very famous picture, I'm sure your crew could find it quickly, of Bill Clinton when he was governor of Arkansas with George the first Bush president, but prior to when he was vice president even. There's a picture of them at one of the fundraiser things in Arkansas, where Bill Clinton and George the first Bush president were friends way back in the day, okay? So bottom line, what I'm saying is that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are CIA operatives, okay? Now, George the first Bush president is the first president of our country that was a CIA agent. I mean, he was the director of the CIA. You know that, right? Before he became vice president.
Yeah, of course. And he was part of the Council of Five, along with William Lansdale and several others, Bill Colby, who launched the drug running operation. So he actually was secretly in the CIA and was only made director once the truth about the drug running started to come to light because of a scandal in Japan, and they put George H.W. Bush as the director in order to clean it up and delete all the files before it could be exposed by Congress.
Right, and he made his bones because when the CIA took out JFK in November of 63,
he was there.
George H. Bush was there in Texas. So, I mean, so the CIA has been running this country the whole time. Now, the point is, coming back to Bill and Hillary, Bill Clinton, prior to even marrying Hillary, okay, he visited Russia in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. It was a communist country. When he was in college, when he was, quote unquote, a Rhodes Scholar.
Right, and he was a Rhodes Scholar, which is where they do all the training for all this. Right. No, you're exactly right. It's a giant club, and, you know, it's the CIA, but really it's the people above the CIA. It's the CIA and MI6 and Mossad and basically the superstructure that they form along with the banks. So, yeah, you're exactly right. I do want to get to one more call before we have to go. Let's go to Robert in Texas, who wants to talk about the power structure that we've been discussing here. Robert in Texas on line 9, you are on the air soon. You will be soon on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Harrison, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about a few things. So I have a few questions for you. Have you ever seen a 5-hour documentary by, I believe it's Altian Childs? It's like a 5-hour documentary.
What's it called?
It was something about exposing Freemasonry and Luciferianism.
Okay, I have not watched that now.
Okay, so the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because there's another person that I wanted to mention. He goes by the name Mag Bitter Truth. I'm not too sure if you ever heard of him.
No, I don't know that.
Okay, so he's on Patreon, Spotify. He has sometimes been on YouTube, but they keep deplatforming him, sort of like Alex Jones. And the reason why I wanted to bring up the 5-hour documentary is because I feel like if a lot of people had the information that was presented in that documentary, it would blow out, like, the entire globalist plan, like the New World Order, stuff like that.
Interesting. So give us the name one more time.
Of who?
Of the documentary maker, the documentary you're describing?
Oh, I believe his name is Altian Childs. He's supposed to be from the UK, if I remember right.
Okay, well, we're about to end the show here. Final thoughts, Robert.
I would just say just check them out. You know, if you get a little bit of knowledge in that regard, you might be able to just, like I said, destroy the entire New World Order altogether.
Well, I will certainly take a look at that. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's not that complicated, folks. It's really not that complicated. People run mafias. They're criminals. And really, what we should show, like, every single day is that video that went viral not too long ago with Konstantin Kissin, where he's talking about the werewolf game. And it basically is a game that was developed in Soviet Union to show how somebody with secret knowledge can just dominate everybody else. And it's about, you know, whoever knows who the werewolf is, has that power and always wins the game. A little bit of extra knowledge, you can destroy your enemies. Now imagine you have access to the swath of knowledge, all the intelligence agencies, all the bank accounts, everything, what you can do, what you can achieve, what you can pull off with that. You know, it's like a war of information. It's almost like information is really the weapon in this war. It's almost like an info war. Wait a second. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Wake up in a world trying to drain your light. Screams got you numb, keep you foggy at night. They want you tired. When the sister plays games, from the gym to the grind to the war for your mind, this ain't luck. Nah, this is designed. Ultimate power. Feel it surge in your veins. Locked in focus, laser brain. Breaking out the chains. Ultimate power.
Something even better than Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at thealexshowstore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.